All right, perfect. All right, good evening, everybody. This is the October 8th, 2025 meeting of the WPFW Local Station Board. I am Kamau Harris, Chair of the Board and of the LSB, and we'll have our Secretary, Ellen Williams, call the roll. Ellen.
Irene, she will be late. She'll be here, but late. Verna. I haven't heard anything from her, so I'm assuming she's coming. She might just be.
I see Verna on the list.
Okay.
So she might have a little trouble unmuting, but she's here.
Muting. Okay. Wayne?
Wayne is absent. He emailed earlier the week. He's absent tonight. He's
Okay.
traveling.
Michael Byfield? Probably running a little late. Bill Curtis. Bill Curtis. Violetta. I
Here.
see. She's just muted.
She said
I'm here.
here.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Vanessa.
I'm here.
Sue, Robert,
Present.
Kamel,
I'm here.
Michael Hirsch,
I'm here. Thank you.
Julie, she's here,
I'm here.
Arthur,
I am here. Thank you.
David.
Here.
Ambrose. I haven't heard anything from Ambrose. We'll go back. Tony is going to be emailed us. He's going to be absent today. Mariah. Mariah.
She may be a little late, I think, is what her email said. So,
Okay.
okay.
Ron Pinchback.
Here.
Ron. Okay. Minerva. Minerva. I see her, but.
Present. Present.
Okay. Michelle. Michelle, Wanda,
Here.
Dennis,
I'm here.
Thomas, Chase,
Here.
Junetta, Jeanette, Jeanette, do you see her?
No, I do not.
Okay. And Jawara.
Presente.
Okay. And I'll go back to those I haven't heard anything from so far. Is Michael Byfield here? Michael Byfield? Don't see him?
Not yet.
Okay, he's probably just running late. Sue?
I'm sorry, can you go back? Because you missed Bill Curtis. I think he should be here.
He's here?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Let him answer up, though, if you could, please.
Okay. Bill? Bill? I see him on there, but it's muted. Bill? I'll come back. Michael Byfield? Michael Byfield? I don't see him. Do you see him?
Not yet.
Sue?
Not yet.
No. Ambrose? No.
Nope.
Michelle?
Not yet. All right.
Okay, so, and Junette. Just let me know when they come.
Absolutely, I will do that.
Or I'll check too.
All right, so we'll check Bill off. I know Bill's muted, and I see a hand. Member Hewitt, what is your concern?
I believe that Sue Goodwin sent in emails last week saying that she wouldn't be available tonight because it's her husband's birthday.
Ah, look at that. Eagle eye. Thank you so much. That is correct. All right. Thank you so much, Ellen. And Member Gordon, could you handle the timekeeping this evening?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Michelle is here.
Yes, Michelle. Michelle is present. Ellen, can you mark? Member Tingling Clemens is here.
And excuse me, Mr. Chair. I just spoke with Michael Byfield. He said he had 7 o'clock in his mind, but he will be joining us.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you. All right, and that's Mariah there as well, Ellen. Member McLean just joined us. All right, I think we're good to go. We have our timekeeper, and we have some excused absences for Member Bruce, Member Goodwin, and Member Leon. All right. Any objections to the excused absences for those 3 members? All right, hearing none. You all should have received the minutes from the September meeting of the LSB. Are there any updates, adjustments to the minutes? All right. Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the minutes as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Any objection? All right. Hearing none, we shall approve the minutes. Anytime you need to go back and address those minutes, we can do that here in this forum. All right. Almost on time, 6:44, very close. First up tonight, we have a report from our program director, Katia Stick. Katia is here with us. You have the floor.
Thank you, Kamal, and good evening, everyone. Since you all received the report in advance, I'm just going to – I think it's a more a better use of the time. If I answer any questions or if you have any comments for me, the one thing that was not in the report that I forgot about, which is 2 things, Million Man March and Unity Fest with Reverend Willie Wilson, Mark Thompson, and others. That is starting next Thursday through Sunday, I think, or through Saturday. Saturday is actually Unifest. That's the 30th anniversary of the Million Man March. And then we have No King's Day. There also might be a Palestinian march on that day as well. So, and we're in pledge drive. So I spoke to Miyuki about it. I spoke to Sue earlier today. And we're going to be doing cutaways from all of these things throughout our Saturday grid so as not to disrupt our fundraising so much, but to bring the information to our listeners about all that's happening and what people are seeing. We'll have people stationed out at Union Temple Baptist Church, wherever the No Kings March in D.C. is going to be, they'll be there. And as I said, I think Palestinian Youth Movement or Code Pink is also calling for something on that day. So we'll have people there to call in. But we will be doing cutaways. We will be not taking the gavel-to-gavel coverage of the No Kings Day in New York. That's my only addition to what I sent. So does anyone have any questions?
Yeah, 1 second before you take a stack. I do apologize.
Uh-oh. I'm
a grave error. I did not approve the agenda. We did not.
Okay.
So, the agenda as presented, I do have one adjustment I'd like to make, which is moving new business up. We don't have any unfinished business tonight. So we'd like to, I'd like to move the new business to 9:05 Eastern rather than holding that for unfinished. Are there any other adjustments or edits to the agenda as presented? Any objection to that change in the agenda? All right. Hearing none, our agenda is approved with that one change for new business moving to 9:05 Eastern, right? New business at 9:05. All right. You heard the, you've read, hopefully, the program director's report, and you've heard some additions to that report. I'll take a stack at this time if there's any questions for Katia. Member Williams, you have the floor.
Yeah, not a question, just a comment. The programming yesterday was outstanding, and I absolutely love the app. It's a game changer.
Woo woo! I'm glad to hear that. Yes, well, that was Pacifica's doing, so we thank them for the app. We struggled for a long time, but they got it together. And as I mentioned before, everyone was here. If you play with the app some, you can not only listen to WPFW's air, but up in the top left corner, you can listen to our archived programs. You can see our playlists for music programs. You can also, there's a line that says Pacifica or something like that. You hit that, and then you get the apps from all of our sister stations. So you can now listen to KPFA anytime you want, KPFK, et cetera. So it really is wonderful. And as I also said about yesterday's programming, it was definitely a labor of love to curate it, but really – our programmers brought everything they had and left it on the floor, you know, and they were so, I mean, obviously everyone who presented yesterday was so invested in marking this awful 2-year anniversary of live streamed. We cannot forget that. Like every day we're seeing the charred bodies of children. We're seeing settler violence. We're seeing all of it in front of our eyes. And so everyone brought all of that, all their emotion, all their passion, all their work outside of the station to the station and created a stellar day. Thank you. Thank you, Dennis.
Member Sanders, you have the floor.
Yes. Katia, thank you for the information. One thing that I would like to ask, and we've been talking about this for several years, having a list of questions or whatever you have so that as we listen to the different programs, meaning the programming committee, listening to the programs, that we'll be able to fill out something to identify and give our thoughts or give our suggestions or whatever. Do you have a document handy such as that that we could use? So I'm asking you here, and the reason I'm doing that is for some reason or other, I no longer have a phone number for you. So I'm going to do it here in this meeting so you can be sure and get this message, okay?
That's fine. This is the first time I've ever been asked for a document. I know that we've talked about several years, the programming committee dividing up the grid and listening. I think I asked you all to do that, and I'm so happy you're taking it up now. But I did not know you wanted a document to fill out. So
Hold on 1 second.
I'm not
totally clear on the question. All right. Member Sanders, are you asking for the program director to provide like a checklist of questions that would rate or have a mechanism for critiquing a show? Is that what you're trying to do?
No one's looking to critique anything. We're asking that as you listen to the programs and you have thoughts about it, then you'll have something that could be used to just identify, some thoughts on different things about programs or even suggestions or ideas. So that's what's being asked for. And if she doesn't have that document, I'm sure I can go on the internet and pull down something, but I wanted to know if we already had something in place. So that's the question to the program director.
What I would say, Minerva, when I initially asked you all about listening, it's as simple as saying, for instance, I listened to Morning Brew, Beyond Borders, this morning. And, you know, I noticed this production value. And I can write down the criteria, but I noticed the production value, which means it, you know, sounded this way or that way. Sound quality was good, not good. What you thought of the content and the flow. I mean, this is really, it's more of a personal, it's no kind of critique of the programming. It's really... And of course, measuring, I mean, when you're listening, you always, I mean, I know when I'm listening, I'm always asking the question, is it serving the mission? That's the biggest question. You know what I mean? That's the biggest question. Yep. So I can provide you with something, but it really is more just like writing down a few lines and I, you know, identifying the show you listen to and writing a few lines about it, about how it hit you, basically, in total.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah,
for that information, and we'll discuss it further in our next meeting of the programming committee, but I thought maybe if you had something handy, we could use that as a guide, but thank you for your thought. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Any other questions for our program director?
Oh, I do have something for you all I want to announce. It's late in the game, and I don't know always the best mechanism to send things to the – I guess I should send it to you, Kamau, and you and Ellen, and then you ask Ellen to disseminate it. But anyone interested, we do have a tabling opportunity at the Palestinian Film Festival, which happens this weekend at MLK Library Friday through Sunday. And I can send you what I sent to the programmers, Kamau and Ellen, and you can disseminate it. But if anyone is interested in tabling, you'll be able to see the films for free. So
yeah, just go ahead and send that to us.
Okay.
And we'll get it out. Yep.
All right, cool. We'll do that. I'll do that tonight.
I have Member Hewitt. Go ahead. You have the floor.
Yeah, I just wanted to echo what I believe it was Dennis earlier said about just how fantastic the programming was yesterday. Just, it was stunning.
Thank you, Julie. And I will... If I can share, because I even utilize, as you probably heard, programmers from other signal areas, like Mimi from New York participated on, with Equal Rights and Justice, Paulina, COVID, Capitalism, Race, and Democracy, did a segment. And I did ask them, were their stations doing anything? And we were the only ones that put together special programming. So, you know, again, I'm just proud of our programmers. They get it. They deliver. They're wonderful, you know. So thank you.
All right. I do have one question for you, Katia. with the ongoing occupation of D.C. and the various groups that have been resisting Free D.C., so on and so forth, have there been or opportunities to either kind of amplify or have discussions with these groups and or kind of come together in a unified manner to try and, again, you know, push back on some of the things the administration is doing? Or how do you see the role for WPFW at this time?
Well, I am very, again, I owe it to the programmers since the beginning, since those first troops hit the city, right? And there's been programming dealing with that, with Free DC being on several times, Harriet's Wildest Dreams. In fact, Kamone had them on today. There's a union, a federal workers union that's doing some stuff. Joni has had them on repeatedly. And actually, Joni had them on when started having them on when Trump first fired all those people, the first wave. Remember the mass firings? So I will say that all of our programmers have been responding to that. What I would like to do, and I'm announcing it here. I haven't talked to my GM about it, but we will do a Free DC day on the air, like special programming, a full day, like we've done for the others, because it, you know, it's just that important. And so that will be a concerted effort to either mine the archives for programs that have already been done or ask programmers to create new programming, and that's both on the music, as you see, we like to integrate, so it would be on the music and the public affairs side. But I'm happy to report we have been on top of this since the first boots hit the ground. And not in a good way, not that dance way, but.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah. Any other, thank you for that. Any other questions for Katia? All right.
Well, I just want to say, and I joined late, so maybe this was already said. Hi, guys. Had to go get Chip some chocolate cake. But
happy birthday, Chip.
But, and if this, you know, this may have already been said, but it deserves twice. We did some really wonderful programming yesterday to mark this tragic events. And Katia pulled together a remarkable lineup. So I just want to let that be said.
Thank you, Sue.
Thank you, Sue.
And Sue was quite instrumental because if you heard Roach's show yesterday, if I can just say one thing, I was particularly proud of Roach and Martine because they're normally on Tuesdays and they usually do their 2 hours. So when I approached them about participating at first, they were like, we don't know, but okay, we'll do an hour. We're not doing 2 hours. But then we got into it and they were very nervous. They were like, I don't know, can Sue join us at the top to introduce these guests and set the tone or whatever? And I'm like, I think you're okay.
You
but
don't
Sue,
need that.
Well, Sue did it. They didn't need it because Sue found the guests. So they're, they talked about the Israeli prison industrial complex and the treatment and conditions of, what I learned is that we should not call them prisoners because do you know there are 11,000 Palestinian people held like what would be the equivalent of without charge. They're just
without
there.
Without charges. They're called administrative stays.
Yes. and there are at least 4,000 children. That's in addition to the adults. 4,000 children held. So we learned that yesterday. I was just going to say, but Sue put together so much. She booked the guests. One of them was in occupied Palestine in Jerusalem, East Jerusalem, I think. And the other one was a doctor in Florida. Both were of Palestinian descent. And it was amazing. And it was so like all the love came through. And what I kept telling Martine and Roach, I was like, you might not know what Palestinians go through, but you know what prisoners here go through. That's all you need to know. It's the same around the global South. Everyone's suffering the same way. And they were so incredible on the air. They stepped up. They were moved. And, they asked insightful questions. They took it off the page. Sue gave them plenty of the page. But they were able to, and then Tichy too. They took it off the page. It was a beautiful hour. I was so, I just really was so humbled because they were so worried about, like, I don't think we can do this because we don't know enough. And in fact, they knew already, inherently they knew because of the work that they had done. Yeah. And Sue was a big part of that. So thank you, Sue.
Excellent. Thank you all so much. Before we're at time certain on this issue, at 1 minute, member Avery Brown, you have a question?
I do. I just wanted to echo the comments about the app. That is, Dennis, yes, a game changer. I was able to take my phone on my errands with me and still hear part of the programming. But I also want to know, Katia, if, because there were significant parts that I missed, if we can go to the archives for yesterday and hear the programming.
Okay. You can start at 5 and go to midnight and it's all there. And it'll be under its title. So the title of yesterday's programming was What Breaks the Heart. So if you look for that in the archives, you'll be able to hear the whole thing. Okay. And I got to also shout out Jordan because he's like the youngest one of us, right? Or one of Asatial's young too. I don't know exactly how old he is, but these are our two youngest programmers and Paul Bailey, of course, but regular programmers. I mean, now you got to, if you listen to no other hour, you have to listen to Bars Not Bombs was the title and it was hip hop and Palestine. This young man did a remarkable job from 8 to 10. I mean, I thought I knew music, and I listened to a lot of music and know a lot of music. I was Shazamming the whole time and texting him the whole time. So, everyone just really – and Zaya, the same thing with the music. And DJ Abby, the mix she did for the midday. It was so incredible. So, anyway, yes, you can – if you look up What Breaks the Heart, it's all there.
8 to 10 p.m., I'm assuming.
8 to 10 for him. Yeah, he was on 8 to 10 p.m.
Okay, thank you.
All right, excellent. Thank you so much, Katia. Appreciate that report from our program director. Next up, we have our membership coordinator report. That's going to come from Sataria Joyner. Sataria, are you with us?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Yeah, I forgot to ask you how much time you want me to.
Oh, right. Each member, if they come to the stack, the first round, they have 2 minutes.
Thank you.
Okay, no problem. Sataria, you have the floor.
Hello.
Hey.
Good evening, all. Good evening. I did submit the report earlier, but I did make some revisions. So I'll just go over the revisions for the report right now. One, we did the 5K. That was September 13th. It's so many people to thank. Of course, we thank Martha each and every year, Martha Peterson, for spearheading this and, you know, really making sure that it's put together. And she begins doing the legwork. Thank you to her and Violetta and Sabu, Mrs. Turner, who is so many people, Tony Norman, Pete, Kamal, every one of you who helped by suggestions, by participating, you know, just everyone who really helped with this process. Thank you so much. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but all the expenses were covered. We were, Martha and the whole crew were able to get enough sponsors to cover the expenses, which added up to about $900. We even went over by $25 from our sponsorship. So we appreciate that. We collected about $650, at the event. And that includes credit cards and checks and some t-shirt sales. But our pre-sales, we had 31 people sign up ahead of time. And I don't know if, you know, just to bring that home, it's not the most we've had, but it is the second most we've had for people to sign up in advance. And that's with us having computer problems, as many of you experienced. There were issues signing up, and even with those issues, we still ended up with 31 people who signed up in advance. So, you know, I appreciate everyone who helped it. Oh, and of course, Katia, who got the promotion on the air early, and programmers talking about it. And I know, so, you know, everyone just working together to try and make it as successful as possible. So, what with the pre-sales, what was collected on site, and our $25 overage from sponsors, we've got $1,915 as the net. And I'm actually expecting it to maybe go up for, people continue to give to it for some reason. Every year we still usually get a few more dollars to trickle in, even weeks later. I think just people feel guilty they missed it or something, but or they get, you know, they're just seeing emails and correspondence about it, and they're just responding to that. But we usually get a few more dollars. So I'm expecting it to get to 2,000 even at least. But right now we're at $1,915. On September 23rd, we did the Genius Plus Soul equals Ray and John Day. Our goal was only $12,000 for the day. We made over $19,000. For the day. It was great. People loved it. The programmers who were presenting really enjoyed themselves. The audience really enjoyed themselves. We got lots of calls of people just thanking us for the programming all day long. And that came off very well. As you know, the drive starts, or I hope you know, the drive starts this Sunday, October 12th, and it runs through the 25th. And of course we're going to be looking for volunteers. I specifically am looking for people to help send out pledge reminders, and I plan to do those on October 14th, the 21st, and the 27th. So you can either contact Vinny at volunteers@wpfw.org, or you can contact me directly at sjoyner@wpfw.org. I'll put both of those in the chat. And we have upcoming drive dates, So the next one after October would be Giving Tuesday on December 2nd. And December 14th through the 20th will be our December, in type of our on-air end of year, on-air fund drive. I wanted to make sure I mentioned the Giving Tuesday because I know that wasn't in the list last month. And that's December 2nd. That's it. Any questions?
Right. Yep. Thank you, Sataria. You all have heard the membership coordinator report. Are there any questions for Sataria at this time? All right. Hearing none, thank you, Sataria, so much for that comprehensive report. You have, everyone should have copies at this point. The interim general manager's report is next. But what I've asked, from her and her, the rest of her staff is to bring in the chief engineer and the volunteer coordinator at this time. I thought it was important enough, given some of the, engineering aspects that have taken place over the last few months, to kind of get a debrief from our chief engineer, Mo Thomas, and then also, given the fact that we have our pledge drive coming up here beginning this coming weekend, that the volunteer coordinator, Vinny Jack, also kind of present to us. So I'm going to call on Vinny at this time just to kind of dovetail after Sataria. Vinny, are you able to kind of give us a little bit about what you need from us beginning this coming weekend for volunteers? I know you sent out an email, but go ahead and give us a summary if you could.
Hello, everyone, and thank you, Kamal. You know, appreciate you. You know, I think Sataria kind of brought up most of it in her presentation. You know, right now we're gearing up for the pledge drive, which starts this weekend. And it will be going till the 25th. We're only taking volunteers on the weekends. And we're doing that between the hours of 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. And our space is pretty small, so I have to kind of control, you know, how many people can go. And at the moment, in particular, this weekend, it's looking like Sunday, probably like after maybe like 2 o'clock, you know, we probably need a couple of people, from about 2 to 6. So I'm looking for probably about 2 people. And that would be great. And all you got to do is of course, reach out to me at volunteers@wpfw.org. We will also need help with the pledge reminders, which Sataria gave you some of the dates. That's October 14th, 21st, and the 27th. Just reach out to me, and then I can schedule you and I'll also get you on the security list because we have to clear everything with security here. The main thing, you know, I want to say is, you know, is phone volunteering is one area that saves the station money. We use a call center, which a lot of radio stations do use. But then they also have, you know, phone volunteers. And so that would kind of offset some of the costs. Our weekends are the busiest. So we're really like focused on the weekends. If you can help, you know, just email me. I usually say 3 hours at least, but I'm always kind of flexible, depending on how many people are already scheduled. So if you can help, you know, just reach out. Trying to think what else. Oh, and please download that app. The app is fantastic. I was actually one of the people that was testing it. And it's, you know, over the last 2-3 months or so. And it's great. I think everybody should download it. The more downloads we get, the better. it's a good way of, you know, carrying the station with you wherever you go. So, you know, definitely get that. And I'll say there's one other thing coming soon is also a new website. But I won't say anything more about that, but it's almost completely like done and it should be launched anytime soon. I think that's about it for me for now.
Excellent. Thank you, Vinny. You've heard the volunteer report. Any questions for Vinny at this time? Okay. Thanks, Vinny, again. Hearing none, we'll move forward. We'd like to hear at this time from our chief engineer, Mo Thomas. Mo, are you there? And can you give us a report on what's happening in the engineering world, please?
Indeed, I can. Good evening, everyone. It's good to be with you. One of the things I want to dovetail the previous reports from Sitaria and Vinny. If you look at your screen, those of you who have video, will see the WPFW bandwagon, as it were, simple trailer. But the important part is that this is a visual clue as to who we are and where we are. And anytime I have a chance to bring this in town, I probably take the long way around just to show it off. But the idea is that this is carrying equipment that we use for our various events. And it's the idea to have a visual cue, even those who are not there, who can see that we're present and we're in the community. I think it's an important flag to fly for the station. So if you haven't seen it, there it is. Those of you, this was at the 5K run. We headed out there and everybody was very complimentary about it. So we're going to keep it up as we try and do more and more field things. Moving right along, in the studio, things are pretty good. Frenchie and Robert have been on it to keep things done. I should also compliment Mike Nasella and the fellas at the studio in correcting things that are reported. We're trying to stay on top of it. We just had a recent phono failure. Mike got into it, found some bad cables, and we think we're going to get that squared away. Mike has asked for a new PC in the studio. The one that we have is a little problematic. As you may have heard, Windows 10 is going out of support on October 15th, and that creates a security vulnerability for our computers. That's the bad news. The good news is I've found some Windows 11 mini PCs for around $200 or so. We'll be able to replace probably on a one-by-one basis, not on a wholesale basis, the computers we have in the studio so that we're up to date and we're all into Windows 11. The lamping project is moving along slowly. Frenchie has taken charge of that. He's put in a dedicated off-air receiver, a dedicated stream receiver, and we're going to get those alarms hooked up on the lamp system. What that really means is that Robert is going to write a protocol such that when the lamps lights up, it's not just a blank notice. You can actually know who to call and what to do about it. So I think that's an important addition for early awareness that there's a technical problem in transmission. I am aware of the internet lapses we've had in the last couple of weeks. I believe for sure some of them are deliberate attempts at knocking us off. The reason why I say that is because when I look at it, you take a look at the week-long view, you notice where the hits come. They seem to come like around Democracy Now and around any other shows that you know, perhaps have unpopular editorial views. So I'm pretty sure about that. But overall, the studio has been doing well. I thank those programmers that have been able to come in and use the new console and the new equipment and the new environment. Best I know, folks are very happy with the new environment, and we are keeping on top of any issues we may have in the studio. We know they do exist. Meanwhile, out at the transmitter, we are at full power, and we have been at full power now for the last week or 10 days. I want to show you this display, which probably means absolutely nothing to you, but what I want to share here is that our signal is within FCC specification, and the lower two gray displays indicate that our HD signal is in good shape. We're at full power. We're about 60, 62% efficiency, and I'm very, very happy for a couple of things. One, the power failure we had with Pepco was fully repaired, and fortunately, due to the support of our listeners, we had the money necessary to make those Pepco repairs. It was critical, very critical, and Miyuki and I were on it on a day-to-day basis to get that restored. In connection with that, the power supplies that have been failing left and right are now not failing. We've gotten most of them back from repair. There's a full deck installed in the transmitter, and coupled with that was the AC air conditioning repair. We had a technician come out, completely pressure wash the air conditioners, replace the filters, and got them in excellent working condition. You open the door now, the first thing that will happen to you is you will sneeze because there's so much cold air in there. But the transmitter loves it, and the transmitter has been rock stable ever since that was done. So I thank Miyuki, and again, having the money on hand to make that happen is an important note. With regard to equipment replacements at the transmitter, the audio, the Prime Audio processor failed on us. It's well over 25 years old. But thanks to the assistance of our friends at WAMU, we got another processor in and on the air within a day. And they were very, very generous with their equipment, and I thank them very much. In fact, it turned out to be spare to their needs, excess to their needs, and we're buying that on an arrangement we made with them over a little bit of time. I'm very happy about that. Finally, with regard to HD radio, we're still transmitting on HD 1. We have 2, 3, and 4 standing by. It's a program loading issue, something Katia is very much aware of. We're holding back on that. But the listeners have reported that they hear the real audible quality difference between normal analog air and the HD air. So we know it's making a difference, and it is a priority to keep it going. And with that, that concludes my report, unless anyone has questions. Thank you.
Thank you. You've heard the chief engineer give his report. Are there any questions for Mo? Member Williams, followed by Member Byfield, Member Avery Brown, in that order. Member Williams, go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering if the app does anything to mitigate some of the variance in quality on the internet. And I took took a 6-hour drive on Saturday, and it seemed to carry much better than in the past when I was just, you know, connecting directly on the internet.
Yeah, it goes through fewer hands. The short answer is so yes. All other things being equal, if the stream is up, you should have good quality.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Member Byfield, go ahead. You have the floor.
Good evening, Mo. A couple of things. HD, the first time I saw HD was before Jerry left, and it was very spotty. And my question is, and you can answer after I ask my second question. If we've been promised HD since, let me say 6 years ago, and I listen to other stations with HD, I don't see the content of what is playing, and it's spotty depending on where you're driving. I don't see why we can't get a grant and some interns to install the software to make it functional and working. Let me move on, and then you can answer both questions. In terms of being at full power, this is my text that I sent to 3 people Monday, the 29th of September. This was to Bill Curtis, who lives in Baltimore. And the reason why I sent this to him is because when I covered the African-American the Marcus Garvey Festival last year at Harlem Park, which is in the middle of Baltimore, I couldn't hear the station. I just said, Bill, did you hear WPFW in your location in Baltimore clearly? His answer to me was, near Liberty Old Court, signal is coming in, a little static, but clear enough. Bill is a member of the board, so I guess he can tell us the rest of the stuff. But my reason for doing that is because Baltimore is not Delaware, Baltimore is not York, PA, Baltimore is not West Charleston, West Virginia. And when I'm there in places like
West Virginia. That's 2 minutes. Just let you know.
Yep. Go ahead, Member Byfield, wrap up, please.
It's very spotty. And if that's full power, then maybe we need to really do a serious evaluation of what full power is. That's it.
All right. What I heard was, first question for you, Mo, are there any grants available to have interns work on HD?
I'm not aware of any.
And then your full power, is that happening? And why is the signal maybe potentially in Baltimore not as clear?
All right. So I don't want to get into too much technicality, but we are indeed at full license power and have been for about the last week or 10 days. Prior to that, in fact, throughout the summer, in fact, even through the last pledge drive, we were at low power because of the Pepco loss, which was around June 12th or 15th, didn't get cleared up until August 1st. We had further power supply issues until just about 2 weeks ago. That said, we were able to sustain a decent signal around the area, and it is very likely that folks in Baltimore, especially downtown Baltimore and in the outer burbs of Baltimore, if they're in the lowlands, that they had a problem with our signal. Many things contribute to our signal outside of the immediate Washington metro area. Oddly enough, it's terrain, it's also weather to some degree, and it's also a matter of where you are in relation to other transmitters. So, for example, if you're in Baltimore on the west side and northwest side of Baltimore, we might be staticky and wiped out because our signal is competing with several very strong transmitters up there. If you're in Rock Creek Park, you might have a problem with the signal because it's down low. And again, depending on where you are, it might be staticky. If you're where the signal is good, you'll get HD, and you'll get HD solidly. So, or you'll get the FM solidly as well. And that's just a matter of mainly of terrain.
We've got about 5 minutes, time certain, on the manager's report, which
I didn't want to eat up too much more time.
No, you're fine. No, I gotta keep us on schedule here. So I have a question from Member Avery Brown, and then we'll hear from our interim general manager, Miyuki Williams, at that time. So Member Avery Brown, what's your question?
Yes. Hi, Mo. Good evening.
Hi.
I've been to the studio, but I'm not entirely clear, as a public affairs programmer, if it's capable of allowing us to bring in one guest. Can we actually accommodate that in the studio now? Have one guest if we're public affairs programmers.
If you're asking me on a technical basis whether it's possible for a guest, one guest, to come in, the answer is yes.
Okay. All right. And secondly, I guess, you know, the whole getting them cleared through security would not be an issue. How far in advance would they need to know?
That's outside question.
Outside my domain. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay. All right. The second question is, could you possibly maybe provide a statement articulating just how wide our signal is, you know, something to the effect of our 50,000 watt signal can be heard in Delaware or wherever it is, just because when we are booking guests, it'd be helpful to have that so that we can let them know just how far our signal reaches. You think that would be possible?
How about this, Bo? Can you give us an illustration, both in maybe a map? Because I've heard you've had...
there is very much a map.
Yeah, and then also in...
I'll put it up while other people are talking, but we have a 50-mile total radius, which encapsulates anywhere from 8 to 10 million listeners, potentially. We have a solid 35-mile radius around the Washington metro area. And as you've heard many times, our signal gets out to the Delaware line, up to the Pennsylvania line, out to the West Virginia line, and halfway to Richmond on a daily basis.
I guess what if we could do is maybe have something that I think what I hear, remember Avery Brown asking for is not just here in the meeting, but something maybe she can hand off or at least speak to while she books guests. Is that
document? Yes, okay. I actually have a hard document to that effect. Okay. It was posted, by the way, over on K Street, and we still have it.
I do remember that. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very quickly now, let's hear from our interim general manager, Miyuki Williams. There's been a lot from your staff this evening. Did you have anything else you'd like to add in terms of where we are at the station?
Thank you very much. And I really appreciate you accommodating the team because you got to hear, and thank you, Dennis, for starting this off on such a positive note, recognizing the brilliance of what happened yesterday and allowing Katia and Sue to hear that their work is recognized and appreciated. And listening to Satari and Vinny and Mo talk about their jobs, it's really important that I think you all get to know how hard they work and what the work is that they do. And then I'm glad that you're asking questions to get further information on some of the things. So thank you for that. I just wanted to reiterate what's already been touched on, and that's basically we have a drive starting on Sunday. Some of you, we would love to have you as volunteers on the phones. The other thing is thank you for your support. The station did very well with the Ray, John, and, of course, October 7th. I was going to say, I couldn't remember the name. Katia, I'm sorry. What breaks the heart?
Yeah.
Special programming was very, very successful, and hopefully we'll reap the rewards of that coming up Sunday. We can remind people of that. The app, I just set out more details about the app. Katia's got a PSA going as well, but that's our easiest or our best ticket to amplify the number of listeners to WPFW. So please share the app with your friends and family. And then, Verna Avery Brown, it's a 24-hour notice to manage me if you're bringing in a guest. Unless anyone has any questions for me, that's basically it.
There was a report issued by the interim general manager. You have that. You've heard a little bit from her this evening. Are there any other questions for our management team at this time? I know Member Byfield, your hand was up. Are you okay, sir?
I have a question.
Member Byfield, go ahead, and then I have Member Curtis after that.
Sorry, I'm on my phone.
No worries. Member Byfield, are you good? I'm going to let Member Curtis go because you're still muted. Go ahead, Member Curtis. What's your question?
Yeah, just it's not directed. Well, this is the management team that's talking. But I heard mention of that equipment is on a trailer. I guess he sent you equipment that's used for the station, at the station. Is that kept? Where's that trailer kept? Is it in D.C. or is it at the Moe's home?
Yes, Mo was the creative person who got it done on his own so that he could have the trailer WPFW on it. And currently, yes, he does keep it at home. But before I go any further, Mo, I need you to check in with the station. Otis is on vacation, and we're not streaming right now. And I know you haven't seen the check, so I'm sorry. This is the nature of Mo's life. He could be sleeping, having romantic dinners, or being in a meeting, and he has to say, Mo, we're off the air. And he'll have to go do his Superman thing. So I applaud and thank all of you all very much for listening to them.
All right. We're at time certain on this particular item. 7:30. Okay. Does anyone want a motion to extend, or do we move forward with the finance? All right. Hearing no motion to extend, we're at time certain. Thank you all so much. Management team, really do appreciate all of the work that you're doing. And again, the great day of programming yesterday. And as we move forward into our fun drive coming up, very important as we have our fall fun drive beginning on Sunday. We have our treasurer, Tom Chase, is here. Tom, are you able to give us our finance report tonight?
Yes. Thank you, Kamau. The report was sent out last evening, so I'll just hit the high points and then take any questions. Bottom line is we ended the year about $25,000 better than budget. So we came out positive net revenue of $105,000, and we were budgeted to make positive net revenue of $77,000. So we really came through in the clutch in the last month, both a combination of the fund drive on the 23rd, as well as a major donor stock donation that finally cleared, and we got the cash for that. So big thanks to Art Highland for shepherding that through. We've got, you know, again, just to reiterate, we're now fully caught up on all of our bills, health, employee health benefits, Verizon, ASCAP, all of those things. So we start the new fiscal year October 1, a little bit lean in the bank balance, but, you know, we've got the pledge drive coming up this week. You know, already this month we're up to date on central services, health benefits, payroll, all our bills. So thanks to everyone on the staff and Miyuki's leadership over the course of the year, and Kamau and helping me get up to speed and be able to keep the books and keep everybody informed. Yeah, that's my report. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Tom. You've heard the report from our treasurer. I'll take a stack. I see our interim general manager. Miyuki, you have a question or a statement or?
Oops.
Okay.
Well, can I just say, anyway, Tom has been incredible, as has Art. And the money that has come in just recently, as you said, it's not just a little bit of money. We've gotten a lot of money in. And they're both volunteers, and I really, really appreciate the day-to-day work that they contribute. It makes a huge difference. I mean, thank them very, very, very much. And I'm going to need some more help because everyone's not able to continue. So if you all can do some other things in development, other things, please let me know. Sorry, Chair.
No worries. Thank you so much. Any questions for the on the finance report? Any questions? Tom, I have a question. You've been, again, I'm going to harp on this just because I'm not in the loop necessarily. You've been doing such a fantastic job locally, keeping us abreast of what's going on financially. Do we have anything from the National Finance Committee that we need to, have articulated here tonight, and or any financials from the national office that have been distributed?
No, I have no update from the National Finance Committee. The last meeting was canceled. There's a meeting next Tuesday. Proposed budgets for the other stations were circulated for that meeting, so they'll be reviewed. As I mentioned at our last LSB meeting, our budget was submitted at the beginning of September to National Finance Committee. It was accepted and forwarded with their recommendation. So we're good. I don't know that it's been taken up by PNB. Maybe one of our directors could report on that. But, Miyuki could talk about it more. But we're executing on the budget that we submitted and we talked about at our last meeting. Unfortunately, Mo had to get off, but he might be here still. But, you know, as I mentioned in the last, we set aside a significant a pot of funds for investments at the transmitter related to backup power and backup transmission. And Mo didn't really mention any of those initiatives. So maybe at the next meeting, we'll have a little more to report. We're still kind of studying that. What's the best solution for backup power and backup transmitter? But that's a little beyond your question. But
yeah, it's all right. No, I appreciate that. We need some details. That's great to know that we're putting stashing something away for important infrastructure projects. Yep.
Yeah, but in terms of the national, I haven't seen recently updated consolidated numbers or, anything like that.
Okay. Any other questions for Tom this evening?
I have a question. I'm sorry, I'm on my phone, Mr. Chairman.
Not a problem. Member Curtis, what is your question, sir?
Yeah, for Tom. Thanks, Tom, for the report. When we were at the other location, we were paying $15,000 a month. So now with this present location, it's been reduced substantially.
Yeah.
What's the difference there? And my follow-up is, so if we have that amount, and I'm just going to estimate $10,000 difference from what we paid then and what we're paying now. How does that factor in to what we are generating through fundraising?
Well, I would say, if I understand your question right, the broad answer is we went from, and there's a tab in the report, financial history. You know, we went from losing $200,000 in 2024 and losing $286,000 in 2023, and losing $113,000 in 2022 to making $104,000 in 2025. So, you know, a lot of that went to just shifting our fortunes. There's been other savings. There's been savings on personnel over the last year. So there's been a variety of ways that we've turned the boat around. I don't know if that answered your question, Bill.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
You bet.
That helps.
Yep.
Any other questions for Tom this evening as we bring our finance reporting committee report to a close? All right. Tom, thank you so much, sir, for your hard work.
Thank you.
We have our community outreach committee report, chair of that committee, Member Diamond. Member Diamond, are you prepared to?
Yes, good evening, everybody. You have received the report. We talked about, ART has the newsletter ready to go. And we did a debrief of the 5K run and walk, and you saw the breakdown of the financial summary. Martha has said that she is intending to step down for next year, so we need to prepare someone to do that if we're going to spearhead it, if we're going to do it again. Thanks to everybody who participated. The committee is planning to have its second town hall meeting in November, preferably, and maybe or December. And three venues are being investigated now. We've talked about a theme, and we should be wrapping that up pretty soon. And some other ideas for some outreach events or membership drive things were discussed. And one of them was partnering with a tennis and pickleball group to increase membership. And another was potentially holding house parties to delve further into the community. And also, it was a concern was voiced about getting the committee prepared to operate under the new bylaws where the chair will be listener supported. I think that's about it.
All right. Thank you, Member Diamond. You've heard the report from our Community Outreach Committee Chair. Are there any questions for Member Diamond and her committee. Member Williams, Member Byfield, in that order. Go ahead, you have the floor.
Yeah, what was that last thing about the chair being listener supported?
I'm told that the interpretation of the new bylaws is that the chair of the outreach committee will be a listener on the LSB. So we have to transition into that.
I see.
Okay. Have someone prepared. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, the bylaws are asking that the officers of the newly formed LSB be listener sponsored or listener members as opposed to staff.
And that would be a directly elected position at this in the next go around.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Member Byfield.
I would like to take the opportunity to thank Martha Peterson for the stellar job she has done for, I think it's 8 years, but it could be longer. Excuse me if I'm incorrect on my timing on that, Martha, but just a brilliant job, and I certainly hope someone else can take up the banner. The 5K was not in my eyes, an event just to make money, but just something that really brought us together, the community together, and other people. And I hope we can continue in that vein. Thank you so much for your work.
Absolutely. Thank you, Member Byfield. Member Sanders, you have the floor.
Yes, good evening. And I also would like to congratulate you, Martha, for the work that you do with the 5K. And thank you for adding the information regarding, I think someone had stated there were no LSB members that supported the activity. And I brought forward three names to you that had supported, but they were not able to attend. And we want to let people know when we are out with those activities that it's really good if individuals wear a WPFW shirt so people know who they are and they don't just see us as people taking part in the activity. But definitely Gloria and her push regarding the shirts and things, she reached out, and there were members from the board who did work with her to get those put together. And thank you for taking that information, Martha, and providing it to the chair of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Sanders. Any other questions for Member Diamond and her community outreach committee? One of the things I do want to highlight, I was able to attend the meeting yesterday, and one of the things that we definitely need to work on very intently is our town hall. So that's coming up, and we need all hands on deck in order to really move our membership to this town hall. One of the things going into these new bylaws is going to be a really, really strong focus on outreach in the community and bringing in new membership. Our roles and responsibilities as a board have changed. And so it's best to get that culture, kind of cultivate that, lay the seeds now for those endeavors. So as this outreach committee works and moves forward to have our town hall, let's be mindful about participating in any way that we can. One of the things that did also come out last night was a frustration, if I could just say, you know, from those who are not board members about our kind of lack of participation as a board. I know we kind of get railed on and, you know, it's hard to keep hearing, you know, these things from folks. But, you know, the proof is in the pudding, and we've got to be able you know, to actually, you know, rotate. It can't be the same people all the time as well, you know, and really kind of use our numbers. You know, we're at 24. Use those numbers to really lift and make all of this a lot lighter work for each of us. So those who are not on the board did a lot of the heavy lifting, did some of the donating, so on and so forth. But, you know, there is a frustration a little bit with this particular body, you know, so I'd like to kind of change that and make sure that, you know, we're doing all that we can to make sure the community is supported and vice versa, kind of yin and yang in this whole thing. All right. But the town hall, we're looking into a couple of venues. I think Bus Boys is one of them. One of the Bus Boys and Poets is going to be a particular venue. I think the member Byfield is looking into a couple of venues, and we have a third venue that former member Hakeem, who's a member of the committee right now, is also looking into something, I think, on the north end of Georgia Avenue. So a lot of things in the hopper there, and a date to come very shortly. So again, it's about a month out. So we want to make sure that we're able to have as many participants from the board there as possible. All right. Did I miss anything, Violetta?
No, that was good. And thank you for bringing that up. One was, I think, member Byfield is going to look at some community centers. And yes, the other one was a restaurant on Georgia Avenue. So we'll decide. And the intent behind that is to try to plug into some other people in the community, because we've had it in the same location for a few times.
Yeah, and it's also to take a little bit of the burden off of the committee itself. When we've had it at the church, we've had to provide refreshments and kind of keep, you know, folk engaged, you know, with different kind of giveaways. I think with kind of having that a venue, we can kind of, you know, take that responsibility off of the committee. Folks can eat if they want or not, so on and so forth. It just kind of makes a little bit lighter lift. And then, of course, as Member Diamond is saying, helping us engage in different areas of the city and probably bring in different members or new members, really. Member Pinchback, welcome, sir. You have the floor.
All right. Sorry about that. Yes, I was curious as to, has there been any discussion about what the town hall is going to be about this this go around? Any particular, you know, objective or issue that they're going to focus on as of right now? Do you have anything like that in mind?
Go ahead, Member Diamond. You have it.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about how to, well, we're going to have the theme about the way that the station will operate and look with the new bylaws, and a call to action, you know, for people to join and, you know, new members so they can participate in keeping the station strong. And Kamau, if you want to elaborate on that, feel free.
Yeah, no, I think the elephant in the room right now in Pacifica is the bylaws. And so we want as much of a rollout as possible, and for our membership to understand what their new rights are under the bylaws, right? So it's not just that the impact is on this LSB. All members, current members under in Pacifica, have had changes to how we operate as an organization. They should be fully informed of that. And so one of the major themes in the town hall is going to be understanding intimately and allowing folks to have questions about the new bylaws. Secondly, and I thank Member McLean for this, is to dovetail that with just how important it is to have free speech in an organization that promotes free speech within the, you know, metro area. We've got a lot of folks who are, you know, commercial radios doing what they do, but we have a unique blend of public affairs and music that allows us to really express ourselves in a, you know, unbound manner. You know, we're not constrained by advertisers and things like that. And so we want to showcase that and allow people to understand who we are and join us as we move forward in moving the community towards a much more harmonious, group of folks. We just have to be better about, what we're doing and how we're doing it and how we're improving the lives and the culture here in the DMV. So that's going to be the two primary bullet points. There may be a third, I think, that, the committee might be working on, but that's what was discussed yesterday. And I think it's going to help us, folks, really get more people into the fold and allow us to really be a strong organization going forward. So that's kind of what we're doing right now. Member Williams and Member Tingling Clemens in that order.
Yeah. Hey, were you going to mention the New York Town Hall later? Should I just give it a quick mention now, or?
Please do. I was, but you can definitely. This is a good spot to do it. Yeah.
Just along those same lines. WBAI LSB is having their town hall this Saturday, and it's on Zoom, 6 to 8 p.m. And the town hall committee is specifically reached out to invite the WPFW LSB members to participate. And I think maybe the easiest thing would be to ask maybe Ellen to circulate the email that has the Zoom link to all the members. And it's this Saturday evening. They're probably going to be discussing some of the same things that the Kamau was just talking about, that we will discuss it at our town hall. And they've asked for us to participate. So anybody who can take some time on Saturday, that would be appreciated.
Thank you, Dennis. Yeah, Ellen was able to circulate that. We'll try and put it at the top of your inboxes again after the meeting. But it is on this Saturday, 6 to 8, and it's a Zoom link, so you don't have to travel to New York, although we'd love the Big Apple. Member Tingling Clemens and Member Curtis in that order.
Yes, I'm sorry that I missed the meeting yesterday. Mea culpa. But I guess my concern is that it seems like we're still talking like these bylaws are a done deal and we're not still trying to fight them. Is it that it's too subtle for me to get, or I'm wondering, it's like, am I missing something?
I don't know if you're asking me that directly in my personal opinion, but my obligation here is to be able to prepare both our LSB members as well as our larger community members for the what if. There's always the possibility things could change, but we do have a set of bylaws that were created this year that will that are in effect and that will impact this body in the next 12 months plus. So there's no reason to be caught flat-footed in that sense. Those who are concerned about the way in which maybe the bylaws were implemented or the fact that they may not reflect an overall decision by the larger membership to make those changes, that fight can be had. But I think as a chair and as in a leadership role, with the organization, we have to prepare for both sides and really understand that the organization and the membership has to know. We have to be informed. Not knowing is very dangerous. And so we have to be informed about what it is that's happened and how best to prepare ourselves. So it's a walk and chew gum thing, Michelle. So.
Well, do we have somebody presenting both the walking and the chewing gum part? Maybe that's the part I'm missing. I don't want the members to think that like we're just rolling over and this is it, and we want to set them up to be like a cash cow, like Pacifica used to use us as.
Yeah. No. let's have that discussion, because I think, you know, whatever it is that a town hall allows us to do, it definitely allows us to have open and honest discussion. So there shouldn't be a one view of anything. We should allow ourselves to have a larger discussion and approach it from both sides of the issue in a very, you know, civilized manner. And I'm with you on that. And let's work with that committee. And maybe that's something we need to, you know, make sure it gets in to the agenda. Okay. So don't fret. I understand. I hear you. You know, there's no one's waving a white flag, but it's very important that folks are informed, and that's really, you know, a role that I need to play here, for you all going forward. And that's why I do these little snippets of the bylaws, so it's not a foreign thing to any of us. Couple of minutes here, so Member Curtis and then Member Sanders in that order. Bill Curtis, Member Curtis, going once.
Bill, you're muted.
Yeah, Bill's muted. All right, go ahead, Member Sanders, and we'll come back to Member Curtis. What do you have the floor?
Yes, and thank you to whomever brought up the question about what would be shared. And I think that one thing that's very important is that whatever you're talking about, we already know, and we've already seen the information that says the bylaws that we'll be moving forward with. And it's not a problem if people have questions, but this should not become something where people are beginning to get into arguments. Basically, how do we help Pacifica and our station move forward with what we know is our current mandate? And if other things are going to be done, that basically it's not for Pacifica to allow their airways for dissenters. If you have dissension or whatever, then put your own station together and do it from that venue. And no one's going to stop you from saying whatever you want to say when the conversation is you're hearing both sides of whatever's going on. We have a lot of things going right now where it's either this or that. And I'm to the point that we've got to do something. And we've got to keep this Pacifica alive, and we've got to keep WPFW growing as we're doing now. Thank you.
All righty. Thanks. Member Curtis, one more time, sir.
Okay, thanks. I'm on my phone, and it's a little squirrely finding the mute and the unmute button.
You're right, sir. No need to apologize.
Okay.
Got it.
So, and I got knocked off. I'm not sure if this is appropriate, Chair, but I want to step back to the outreach committee. Can I make a comment related to
that?
Yeah,
we're still there. Yeah, please.
Okay, good. So, you know, I think that, well, this is in my imagination, when PFW began to build itself out 47 years ago, 48 years ago, that it was likely a lot of street organizing, you know, direct with the people or people. I know we're in a different time, but I do recall that, you know, months ago we talked about some kind of postcard that could be distributed. I think that needs to be taken a look at and implemented. I know over here in Baltimore, as I say to my friends in Baltimore, D.C. doesn't really think about Baltimore, and Baltimore really doesn't think about D.C. So, at minimum, there needs to be some kind of handout, postcard, you know, that seems to be the way that can be laid around, distributed, put in a person's hand to bring some awareness that WPFW has defined services that it offers on the air. I really recommend that outreach committee, you know, take a look at that and the board to get behind it. In addition to, you know, going after the big money, we all like big money, big money is good to get. I say to people, I would take, whatever, $50 from, you know, 1,000 people. In addition to, you know, the large, donations that we can get. Can't forget the little people. The money is with the little people.
Absolutely. All right. Absolutely. No, thank you for that, Member Curtis. Appreciate that. We did have something teed up a couple months ago. There is a flyer. I'll share it out that the station management has, and so we could probably use that as a model for us as well. I see three hands. We are at time certain here to allow our community comment, so keep your hands up. I see Member Tingling Clemens, Dixon Briggs, and Avery Brown in that order. We'll come back to you all as soon as we get through, or as soon as we hear from, not get through, because it's not a task, as soon as we hear from our community at this half hour. So for those who are with us from the community, please, if you have a comment or a question for your local station board, please come forward at this time. The floor is yours.
How much time, Mr. Chair, please?
Three minutes for the first round, and if they want to come back, depending on, you know, what the numbers are, but definitely 3 minutes up front. And one of the things I want to encourage the community at this time to consider are some of the statements from the Community Outreach Committee that the discussion on the bylaws, the discussion on how we build more and attract more folk from the community. If you all, as the community members, have suggestions or want to have some input in that sense, please come forward at this time, and that way we can kind of share and, you know, iron sharpens iron, work with one another as we continue to build Pacifica going forward. I see, Shayna, you have the floor.
Yeah. Hi. Aloha mai kakou. My name is Shayna. This is my first LSB call, so thank you for having me. I've been in DC for about 5 years now and a loyal listener to WPFW for about 2 years. So this is just my foray into getting involved, and I've been listening a lot to of information about the bylaws. So I just prepared a quickie guide if folks wanted a comparative analysis to what was before to now. I'll drop that link in the chat, but only be aware that this is my understanding of the bylaw changes. It's not, you know, it's not put out by Pacifica or anything. So hopefully that'll be helpful for folks to better understand my understanding of what's changed. And that's about it. I also attended the outreach committee meeting yesterday, and that was wonderful to hear the discussion and of all the hard work that folks are doing. I am interested in seeing what would entice more people to get involved. And I brought up the idea of having a house party of just inviting your friends to talk about WPFW and going from there, and that being a low level, just hanging out with your friends and raising a little money. And that's it. Thank you.
Shayna, thank you so much for that. And yes, it was a pleasure seeing you yesterday. Anybody else from the community would like to come forward at this time? The floor is yours. And again, not restricted or confined to the bylaws. I know Shayna mentioned the bylaws. I've been talking a little bit about it, Member Tingling Clemens. But anything regarding programming, your concerns, maybe you've heard, those who were here heard from the chief engineer and those other members of the management team. So if you have something you'd like to bring forward at this time, please do. Hakeem, you have the floor.
Yes, good evening, everybody. A couple things. One, I'd like to thank Mo on his assistance at the 5K. I learned a little bit about technology, that you can have Wi-Fi on your phone. So I appreciate that, man. And we were able to do the music through that process. The other thing is also was appreciative of the report that Sataria gave concerning the 5K and the finances, you know, as far as, I guess, the net, and some is still coming in based on what she said, but that we wanted that, so she provided that at this meeting, so I appreciate that. All right, that's about it. Yep.
Right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. I see a few other community folks out here, so you know, please go ahead and come forward at this time. We're at a very, you know, kind of a transitional moment, you know, with WPFW, but also with what's happening in the country. So it's a lot of different stresses, a lot of different points of emphasis that we can focus on. So we're looking for the community to kind of keep what we're doing straight and keep us honest about what we're doing and not doing. So anybody like to come forward at this time? Really quickly, Ellen, I think Member Pinckney is here.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. She is here?
Yeah. Oh. She is. I believe that's Junie. So.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else at this time? Right. We'll hold this space open. You know, we had a really good, I think, finance report as well, for those who are in the community and seeing what your contributions have done and allowed WPFW to pull out of a pretty big hole. There's been some savings, as Member Curtis alluded to, big savings on rent and some savings on personnel, as our treasurer, Tom Chase, alluded to. But there's the constant and consistent, you know, contributions from the community, from the membership, that allows it to all happen. So, you know, please come forward and, you know, speak to that, how you would like to see your investment used. You know, maybe there's something you'd like to see a little bit more in the way of programming, or something you'd like to see in the way of how the body operates. But your contributions make it happen. So please come forward at this time. All right. It's, we'll call it 8:10, Ellen. So we have about 20 more minutes of community comment time. So we'll allow that on the back end if we'll open it back up for folks who'd like to comment. But I'll hear from the stack that we had right before community comment at this time. I have Member Tingling Clemens, Member Dixon Briggs, and Member Avery Brown in that order. Go ahead. What is your comment, Michelle?
Yes, although I thought that both Vanessa and Verna had put their hands up before mine. But my concern is that it seems like there has been a concerted effort to distract, to derail any kind of conversation about these bylaws among the LSB members. And so I think somebody made an apt comment earlier about, you know, being a station that promotes free speech but doesn't allow it, because that's how I feel it's been operating. And I'm just having a real serious problem with that. I have a real problem with that. And we're talking about having a town hall and we can't even have a conversation as an LSB. So there's got to be an opportunity for us to be able to communicate, because I mean, it's bad enough that I feel like we have been stabbed in the back and things have been overturned. And there's been, you know, some real jiggy boogie that's been going on here. And now we're losing our station. So that's what, I mean, there has, you know, I can't believe that I'm the only person that feels like that and feels this deep and abiding frustration and real resentment to the members who keep trying to make sure that any time any level of criticism is raised, that they want to jump out front to make sure and curtail it under the ideas that, you know, well, then you can go somewhere else. Well, maybe so, and that might be what we, not only if we do, we try not to go by ourselves, but I think that behooves it, that we should have at least the level of respect to be able to have that conversation. So that's my concern, and that's why I'm bringing it back. I'm not letting it go. I'm sorry.
Member Tingley Clemens, this body meets once a month. As a body, I don't think we should restrict ourselves in this arena. If we are to be penalized for having a discussion in this body, then I'm not sure how we solve that, except that our leadership doesn't see value in all of our voices. So please don't be, please don't stop having a opinion. Don't stop making suggestions. Don't stop having a concern for your organization. You've given the time and the money, and it's your voice that can be heard. And those that want to silence everybody who may have a different opinion, I guess they don't see value in democracy. I don't know. I don't know how to really place that. But I think you're okay in this space. There may be different spaces that you're not, but we should be okay as a WPFW board here to have that discussion freely, okay? So I want to encourage that. Member Dixon Briggs and then Member Avery Brown in that order.
So I just want to echo completely what Michelle just said. I'm certainly getting the same impression from what Member Sanders said about how dare we have any questions or disagreement at this upcoming town hall meeting. So at last year's town hall meeting, Member Sanders specifically told members who were concerned about these bylaws about which they knew nothing, that there was some sort of an emergency imposed by the court which dictated that action had to be taken immediately, and there was no time to let them know. That was blatantly untrue. Blatantly untrue. It was false. And so this year, she says, oh, well, let there not be any disagreement or any questions about these new bylaws. So the bylaws should have gone through the membership in order to be changed. That did not happen. There is now a group of people who have taken the matter to court to try to restore some democracy at in Pacifica and at PFW. So how dare anybody tell us, the membership, anybody, don't come to the town hall meeting and express your opinion about something that some of us believe was done illegally and are taking action to fight against it. How dare anybody say that?
All right, let me do this just so we're all on the same page. Let's express our own views, but let's not name names about your concerns. If you have an overall concern about what's happening, then let that be laid but let's refrain from going back and forth about each one of us.
Chair, point of order, please.
Sure, please, of course.
Okay, so my response was in direct response to what Member Sanders said before community comment.
No.
It was what she said. That was what my response was to. My comments were directed through the chair, you, to the body, about comments made by Member Sanders, both this year and last year.
Understood. I just...
means I have the receipts, but I have to open them one at a time to see if it's the right one.
So you got to mute. Okay, thank you. Yes, no, I'm not suggesting that the way you addressed it was inappropriate. I just, you know, just letting everybody understand we want to be sure that we're all kind of embracing one another's, engaging one another, in a professional manner. Not that you didn't, but that the names can be, you know, excluded if need be. Okay. That's all. And I do appreciate it. All right. I think you were done, Member Dixon Briggs?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much. Member Avery Brown and then Member Sanders in that order.
Okay. I'll try to play nice, Kamel. But, Michelle, I want you to know you're not the only one feeling this way. When we had the town hall last time, we learned from the listeners there that they were quite unhappy and they felt taken advantage of to learn belatedly about the bylaws changes, and that they had been, quite frankly, disenfranchised in that entire process. And we owe it to them to inform them, and not just the listeners, but there are a lot of programmers that aren't aware of what's going on in terms of these bylaws changes. And the onus is on us to inform them. And it should not be characterized as dissent. I'm offended by that. Free speech at Pacifica still exists, as far as I know. It feels like we're moving into a Trumpian energy to try to discourage or punish any kind of discussion and debate here at Pacifica about very legitimate issues. So, Kamau, I appreciate your leadership, but there is an ongoing effort, challenge to address the way these illegal bylaws, the manner in which these bylaws were changed. There's an ongoing effort, and I think we have a responsibility at that town hall meeting to inform our listeners and our programmers and whoever else is tuned in at that time. Thank you.
Thank you. I have Member Sanders and then Member Chiasi in that order. Member Sanders, you have the floor.
Yes, Mr. Chair. First off, I would like to say that definitely calling of names is not in order. I didn't call anyone's name when I started speaking. I spoke about the fact that if you want to bring forward an issue like this to a town hall, fine, but make sure both parties are there to address it. That's not what happened with the last one. There were supposed to be things that were discussed, and during that meeting, there were statements made and looking at me and saying, well, you know, we didn't promise to play fair. And the person who said that to me, they know who they are. I'm looking right at them. Okay? Now, going forward, I would say that what I'm sharing with everyone is, let's keep an open mind about what these changes mean and how they're moving Pacifica forward. That's what I'm talking about. I don't care that you give listeners anything that they want to hear, but when you start going outside of talking badly about Pacifica, badly about our station, and you're doing it on Pacifica's airwaves, that's wrong. If you want to have total free speech, go ahead and do, as I keep hearing over the years, start your own radio station. Definitely there was someone who did make a statement, and they were on our air saying, well, we'll take WPFW and leave and start our own. And no one from WPFW said, this is not how we should be talking. We need to be working together. So that's why I'm bringing up the fact, let's be fair about how we do things, because I don't have a dog in either fight. But I do understand that I'm in love with WPFW, and the same with the Pacifica. So I'm going to work to see what I can do to help them do better, be better. And if I'm someone's enemy, then, hey, I guess I'm your enemy.
That's two but minutes. That's two too. Minutes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Member Sanders. I have Member Kiyasi and then Member Byfield in that order. Go ahead, Member Kiyasi.
You had listed on the agenda something related to what we're talking about now, or am I wrong in thinking that?
No, you're correct. I have a slide, series of, really it's just an excerpt from the bylaws to discuss the membership. We did powers and duties last month, and then before that, the reconstitution of the LSB, what that looks like. So today we're talking about the membership, what your membership will look like according to the new bylaws. So, but
okay,
that's it.
I would like, I guess I'm asking you to have us move on to those things like committee reports and then take up this discussion after that. Because I think, you know, I think it's appropriate because, you know, I think this is an important issue. I have strong opinions about it, but I would rather, you know, make that the topic of our, like our new business agenda rather than delay the committee reports and all that stuff. So anyway, that's my wish.
Understood. We will, I think I can oblige. I'd have one more member Byfield, and then we'll move forward. Member Byfield, you have the floor, and then we'll get back to our committee reports.
First, I want to express my appreciation and sentiment for what the first member, I forgot her name, that so incensed about Pacifica establishing the, you know, new day, the type of bylaw that's really taken a lot of our power away. And yes, I understand that. However, Representative Sanders, who we elected to represent us, and I think she's done a stellar job, is really providing us with information as to what that side of the board is saying and what really a lot of us might not want to hear. But I still appreciate that because strategically, if we're going to tackle this, we need to have someone give us both sides of the information. So I do not think we should be crucifying the messenger that is delivering that to us. Everyone here that is given their time to serve on the board, and I certainly don't serve on the PND, I have a great deal of appreciation for that, the time that they put in. And I know there are members here that oppose a lot of things. They oppose erroneously things that I know I continuously say that are true for years. But that doesn't mean I don't respect the time that they put in, because, you know, it's their time. And I'm sure they feel a certain passion for PFW why they're making these statements. So I just want to, you know, make that statement, because I think we're not having a good appreciation for some of the efforts that a lot of us put in. And there, you know, it would take up a lot of time for us to go in.
That's 2 minutes.
thanks, Brother Gordon.
2 minutes. He always. Hey, man, we got to keep us on task. All right, one more member Diamond, and then very
quickly. I hear you.
Member Diamond, and then we'll move to our PMP directors. We'll hear from our directors at that time. Go ahead, Member Diamond.
All right, thank you. This bled into something else, but I just want to state again, as far as the outreach committee and the town hall last time, we made a concerted effort to present both sides, and we will do that again.
Yep.
To leave it at that.
Absolutely. Yep. I think that was evident. All right. PNB directors. We have members Hewitt, Pinchback, Sanders, and Williams in that order. Would you all like to give us what's happening at the PNB?
I'll start. We met on October 2nd, so that was just last Thursday. We had an upside-down meeting, which is to say we had the executive session first and the open session second. And there were two things that I think I wanted to report from that meeting. One is that when we met in September, in my report, I said that in the September PMB meeting, there had been a motion, though it was postponed, to the next meeting, but a motion to talk about the whether Pacifica should raise the minimum membership fee or not. And there was a lot of discussion about that here in this meeting last week. And so I just wanted to report that while it was on the agenda under unfinished business in the October meeting, we didn't get to it. I think one of the things that people had asked for was information on, that is to say, directors and the PMB had asked for information on how many people join at the $25 amount and then stay there versus how many people first joined at the $25 amount and then increased their membership donation over time. And I don't think we had that information available, and I'm not entirely sure what else got in the way, but we did not pick that up again. So I just wanted to share that with you folks just because there was a lot of energy here around that. And then the second thing I wanted to mention is, you know, Katia had mentioned in her PD report, you know, some coverage of the, you know, King's Day coming up on October 18th. And so one of the things I wanted to report was that Ursula Rudenberg, who's at the who runs the Affiliates Network, she's working with a bunch of people, including some folks from the ACLU, to help get protection for reporters who are covering the No Kings event. You know, just in case people would run into, you know, some sort of issue with law enforcement or whatever. That people know how to react, et cetera. And so I think they're, you know, there's a collaborative effort, and they're trying to cover a whole bunch of No Kings demonstrations all across the country and, you know, do sort of nationwide programming around that. So, and I think they've even gotten a grant for training news reporters and, you know, help generate a pipeline of reporters. So there's a fair bit of energy around that project at Pacifica. And those were the two, I think, important things that I wanted to report. And I'll see if my colleagues want to add anything.
All right. Thank you so much. Member Pinchback, did you have anything you'd like to add about what is taking place at the PMB? Member Pinchback, are you there, sir? You're muted. You're waffling back and forth. You're muted again. One more time. There you go. Oh, he's off again. All right, let me, we'll come back to you, Ron. Member Sanders, are you available to give us your feedback? Oh, Ron, Member Sanders, are you available, please?
Sure, Mr. Chair. I would like to first share with everyone my thank you for the kind words that were provided to me regarding the death of my father. And I have been out a while handling family business, as we all do when things like this happen. I would like to say that I was able to take part in the audit committee meeting. I at the PNB serve as the chair of that committee, and I have a wonderful secretary, Darlene Pagano, and a wonderful committee, because those who are on it, definitely we're all doing our part to try to help Pacifica be able to deal with the issue of auditing the records for the stations.
I was going to one more computer. I have nothing else to add at this point.
Yeah, well, we got Member Sanders speaking now, but thank you. Go ahead, Minerva, finish up.
All right. And so we are coming, we're working right now on a charter for the audit committee and defining the roles and responsibilities of that committee. And hopefully at our next PNB meeting, we'll have more information that can be shared with the members, and then it would be passed down. Well, it'll go to the ED and then be passed down to the different stations as to what's taking place there. And let's see, what else? Working very hard on getting individuals to step up and help our executive director and the chair of the PNB with different committees that would be put in place to help each of the stations and our affiliates in dealing with the day-to-day operations of their stations and also the PNB at large to keep us a growing network. And we're excited about that. And we did have, I think, one or two new affiliates that just joined us. And the affiliates are moving forward. They are progressing in terms of generating funds for the network. And we're asking that the stations start looking at what it means with our new bylaws and what the new group will look like, and help our stations do the same thing. Encourage our members to come in, take part, be active on committees, and just get out in the community and try to generate more membership for the station. Thank you.
Thank you. Member Williams.
Yeah, two things. First, one of the other things that we spent some time talking about here last month was the Programmers' Bill of Rights, which they call something else at the national level. That was not actually on the agenda for the PNB meeting. I intended to raise it as a question for the ED report, but the meeting was rushed, and we ended up not having a Q&A for the executive director. So that lies dormant. And frankly, I suspect since the staff is so small and with the urgent work that's being done with the audit, my guess is there probably isn't a whole lot being done with that right now, which is too bad, but that's probably the reality. The other thing I want to speak to quickly is a chunk of time in the PNB meeting was spent on a hearing that resulted in a vote to suspend a director who had been suspended by their LSB previously, about a week or so before, suspended for comments that they had made about the Pacifica and that LSB. So what was interesting to me is that since everybody on the national board was put there by the LSB, and if somebody's no longer on the LSB, I didn't understand why there was a separate procedure that I didn't see how you could serve as a director if you've been suspended as a delegate. So the explanation is that the bylaws have severed that connection. And so even though the people on the national board now were in fact chosen by the LSBs, that will not be the case in the future, and so we are now treating that the same way. So that it wasn't automatic
the suspension wasn't automatic. The national board had to consider and take separate action to suspend that person. So the interesting for me again is that the connection is severed. So for instance, if one of the four of us were to depart the national board at this point, the replacement would not be the prerogative of the LSB that originally selected us. It would be the national board that would select a replacement. So that's just another another wrinkle in terms of the changes that that I hadn't been aware of, and just another another change in the level of influence of the LSBs and the and a different kind of representative relationship with the listeners. Two quick other things. I just saw that the opening for applications for GM for WPFW remained open until October 15th, and the PNB also voted to create a personnel committee. That will be evaluating the executive director. That's it.
All right. You've heard from our PNB directors. I'll take a stack of questions. Member Kiasi, is that a question? You've had your hand up for a minute. Didn't know if that was a legacy hand. Yep. Member Dixon Briggs, you have the floor.
So I have a question about the observation that Member Williams just provided in terms of an LSB delegate being suspended by the LSB, but then also there being a separate hearing for that person to be suspended, basically removed, but so-called suspended from the PNB.
So there's a time limit. It's a specific time period.
I'm sorry, Dennis?
I said there is a specific time period.
I don't understand. I don't. Okay, well, let me finish my question because it has to do. That happened at KPFA. So then there was a separate issue at WBAI where a PNB director was suspended / removed from the PNB. But it's not my understanding that there was also a hearing at WBAI where Alex Steinberg was removed. So I'm just trying to figure out what is the policy. How does this work? Alex was removed a couple of months ago, maybe 2 months ago. And this member at KPFA, that just happened a few weeks ago. So I don't know if the New Day right hand does not know what the New Day left hand is doing. But those appear to be, based on the information I have, two completely different processes where in one case there's an LSB hearing and a PNB hearing, and in the other case there's only a PNB hearing. So I don't know if you have any explanation for that, or if not, I would understand, and maybe Minerva or Julie, who are experts on New Day bylaws, could explain.
I'll attempt to answer first, but you're right, Julie or Minerva may have a more specific answer. My guess is that it's a question of that sort of the power imbalance and I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. So when the director was suspended by the national board, part of that was that the person was also directed that he could not participate in Pacifica activities, including the local station board. So he was also at the same time suspended from the local station board. So apparently it works down, but it doesn't work up. That's the best I can understand it, but if somebody has a clearer explanation.
So do either of the New Day content experts wish to comment?
Hold on. I'll start with Member Sanders as vice chair. Anything, any other color you'd like to add to that?
Well, the first bit of color that I would like to add is I'm not a New Day anything. But
All right, hold on. Yeah. Please.
I need to let you know that.
Hold on, everybody, please. Yes, let's not name call. Please. All right, go ahead.
And basically, it's my understanding that there was an issue of someone attempting to raise money, and they were on Pacifica Airways and sending people to another site to provide the money. And also, the person, along with doing that, came to a completely different station and gave their opinion about what's taking place with Pacifica. So that's one issue. Another issue is someone coming on and, I'll use the term, bashing their station and things that they felt were not being done at their station. And it wasn't done on their station's airways, but it was, again, brought to another station. So that there are two different issues, and I think there are things that are put in place that says these different things have different consequences with them. Thank you.
Okay. I think the question on the table, hopefully, Member Hewitt, you can address this, is the imbalance of whether or not the up and down works both ways. Is there a conditional kind of suspending going on, or how are we working this?
There exactly is. Thanks. And so what I am expert in is reading the Pacifica bylaws, and I would encourage, you know, all the LSB members to spend a little quality time with them. I mean, they're actually a lovely sleep aid if you're ever worried about sleeping. But at any rate, LSBs have never had the ability to suspend directors. That power rests with the PNB. Suspend or expel. The PNB, of course, has the power to suspend directors, but also LSB members. And it's been that way in the bylaws, both, you know, the 2020 bylaws and the 2025 bylaws. Those portions of the bylaws didn't change. And so, you know, that's really what that's about. It's that the one matter was initiated at the PNB for a PNB director, right? So that's why there was only a hearing at the PNB level. The second matter was initiated by an LSB. LSBs have the ability to hold hearings for members of LSBs. And since that matter was initiated at the LSB and the LSB doesn't have the power to suspend someone as a director, then the question was, did it make sense for someone to be suspended as an LSB member but serve as a PNB director? So that was the question in front of the body, basically. Thanks.
Thank you. Member Dixon Briggs, your hand is still up. Are you okay?
Julie's answer at least made some semblance of sense, although I think it was wrong. At least I understood the logic. But no, my hand is now down.
You have 1 minute. Member Williams, and we'll close.
Yeah, just quickly, my reading of the former bylaws was that if someone is removed as an LSB delegate, that would make the person ineligible to continue as a director. That's how I understood it. But have to look again. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. We're at our program committee report. The program committee is chaired by Member Sanders. Member Sanders, do you have a report for the board this evening?
No, the report has not been written as of yet. I'm doing a lot of things here, and that was one issue that I did not get to. But in essence, we did meet. We discussed programming and some ideas on how to gather information, not make any type decisions, not push any issues, but to gather information about programming and just share our findings with the program director and with the LSB. Now, we did have a lot, and as I stated earlier, we've been trying to put something in place for years. I've been on this committee, I think this is year four or maybe year five for me, and it's never come forward to the point that we can begin looking at this, but I have an excited group on the committee, and this is not personal or anything of that sort. It's just giving feelings about what's taking place and what any suggestions or any ideas for future. And so that's what took place. And Mike, I'll let you speak if you want to share other things, and I'll get this written up.
Yeah, thank you so much, Minerva, and thank you for continuing to serve even during the tough situation when you lost your father. You know how difficult that is, and thank you for staying with us. Yeah, we had a very productive meeting, I thought. We discussed a number of topics and how to basically be helpful to the program director and the programmers, because, you know, we all have a consensus that WPFW is an amazing station because of the staff, because of the programmers and all the hard work that they do. And we just basically want to be a resource and a sounding board, maybe collect some information. And we wanted to make it very clear that we absolutely respect and appreciate everyone who's working so hard to make the station the wonderful station that it is. Understanding that, you know, we can always learn more and do better, but we're pretty proud of the station as it is.
All right, you all have heard the report from the program committee. I'll take a stack at this time. Member Avery Brown, you have the floor.
Okay, I'm also a member of the programming committee, and thank you, Michael, for the supportive leadership, the excellent supportive leadership that you provide on that committee. It's really appreciated. And my condolences again, Minerva, to you going through what you are with your father. However, I'm wondering what is going to be the status of this programming committee under the so-called 2025 bylaws. Who can answer that? Minerva?
Let me take a quick stab at that. We did discuss that, and there is some uncertainty. I do feel that whatever happens with the bylaws, the proof is in how we operate. And I think that it behooves us to maintain, you know, either officially, unofficially, ad hoc or whatever, a program committee to do the important work that we're doing. So I'm committed to moving forward, however things shake out, and making the best of whatever situation we get. My understanding is that the PNB is going to expect the LSBs to do a lot of outreach, fundraising, that kind of thing. And, you know, and that's the kind of thing the outreach committee is clearly going to be as important as it has been doing the great work that it has been doing. The program committee, I think, might be a little bit more. We need to make it up as we go along. But I think that with the great people who've been on the committee, we'll figure out a positive way to move forward.
And I thank you for that response, Michael. But I'm afraid I'm a little unclear as to why this hasn't been articulated clearly in these so-called bylaws. I mean, either there's going to be a programming committee functioning and people on the local level are going to have some make some contribution or not. And I think we need to be clear about that as we start to talk about these 2025 bylaws. So that's a problem.
Let me just quickly jump in, and you know, we're going to work our way through that. I think the handout, the carve-out I presented back on September 10th, has the composition and powers of the LSB. There's no spell, they don't spell out specifically the program committee. There are officers, and I believe underneath each of those, you know, once we establish the LSB, you then can create committees underneath that. But what you have currently will not exist. It's going to change from what we're doing now to the new to these 2025 bylaws going forward. So I think. Like most of this, there's a section called transition. This is a transitional moment, period. And I think that's kind of where we are, which requires, back to our earlier conversation, a constant and open dialogue. We can't be mute about where we're going. Folks who are encouraging us, you know, to be, on board need to be upfront and discuss it open and honestly so that people are not confused. I think that's one of the most important things, at least in my life, that I've experienced. You know, you have to have open and honest communication. Sound like a marriage counselor. Member Tingling Clemens.
Thank you.
Member Dixon Briggs. Member Hewitt. Member Sanders, in that order. Yes, no problem. You're welcome. Member Tingling Clemens, go ahead.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Brother Counselor. I thought I heard some conversation earlier. I think just during the program committee, program director's report, but I thought that there was some discussion, where they about, breaking up the grid and having splitting it up among LSB members. Or I don't know, or maybe I missed, or maybe I've added something or I missed something, but did I not hear that earlier today?
No. There was a discussion during the program director's report, regarding, program committee taking and listening to different areas, you know, within the grid and giving feedback to her about what they've listened to. So, I think that's still a work in progress. There was a request made for a document from management that may help in this process. There's not one in place now, so it looks like there may be a work in progress or something going forward. So that, I think that's pretty much what you heard earlier.
Oh, okay. Well, if there's still opportunity to participate in that and that's moving forward, I'd like to volunteer.
Yeah. But if you're on that committee, I think you're chair. Member Sanders, we welcome that. She's been asking for assistance and help in that area for quite some time, so I don't think you'll be turned down for that at all. Member Dixon Briggs, Member Hewitt, Member Sanders, in that order.
So I'm also, like Verna, also on the programming committee, which is currently comprised of, like all committees are, programmers and listeners. Verna's a programmer. I'm a listener. So under the new bylaws, as I understand it, programmers will have no place on the LSB. So Kamal, who's a programmer, would not be our chair under those bylaws, the undemocratic bylaws. So I'm wondering what's going to be the place for programmers who are the most knowledgeable among us.
Yeah.
What is going to be, since they're being excised from the LSBs, for some unknown reason, what will be their place on any committees? Will they be on the programming committee? Will there be a programming committee?
Let me quickly, before we get into it, we're at time certain for this program committee report. I know the relocation committee did not meet and doesn't have a report. Are we okay to extend this discussion through the time of the relocation committee through 9:05. We have a motion for that. Anybody?
So moved.
So moved.
All right. Any opposition? All right. Let's continue our program committee discussion. So just to answer your question about.
Yeah, Chair, I have opposition.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we're at time certain, 8:55. So the relocation committee report. Is supposed
Chair, to point of order, point of order, please. So one person's opposition would derail us from moving forward.
No. We can go. You're right. We can go to the roll. So the motion on the floor is to extend the program committee discussion through 9:05. There's one opposition to that. The a vote for yes would allow us to continue our program committee discussion. A vote for no, we move to our relocation committee discussion. Ellen, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, Ellen, the motion on the floor is to extend our discussion about the program committee to 9:05. A vote for yes allows us to do that. A vote for no, we move forward in the agenda. All right, so call the roll for us, please.
Irene, is she here now?
No.
Oh, that's right. She's not. She's coming late, but Verna.
Yes.
Wayne is not here. Michael Byfield.
Present.
There's a motion on the floor to extend the program committee discussion or
yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Violetta?
Yes.
Vanessa?
Yes.
Sue? Is she still here?
Could you do me a favor and call Bill Curtis? You missed him.
Bill Curtis?
No.
Roberts?
Yes.
Okay, Michael Hirsch.
Yes.
Julie.
Yes.
Arthur Highland.
Sure. Yep.
Okay. David.
No.
No. Ambrose isn't here. Tony isn't here. Mariah.
She had to step away.
Okay. Ron Pinchback? Ron?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, Minerva?
Yes.
Michelle?
Yes.
Wanda?
No.
Dennis?
Yes.
Jeanette, is she here?
She was. Hold on.
Okay.
She must have stepped away. No, she's here. Okay. Junie. They come back to her.
Okay. Jawara.
Yes.
Okay. And she's out. Vernas. Okay. Michael Byfield, did he come in or what?
He's been here, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He voted yes.
He voted yes already.
He said yes. Okay. And Bill Curtis said no. Okay. And that's
it. I don't know if Member Adams wants to answer up. She just joined, but I don't know.
She did join? Okay.
Can you please just take
Irene?
Hello, everyone. My apologies.
Hi, how are you?
I'm absolutely fantastic. Fantastic. Right. Just bring me up to speed of what we're voting on, and I will be able to.
Motion to extend the program committee discussion. A yes vote extends it. A no vote does not.
Yes.
Great.
Okay. And I think I have everybody that's here.
Jeanette.
Except for Jeanette. She's still, Jeanette?
And then you need Sue. Sue is also here. She hasn't answered up.
Okay.
All right.
And I did get Michael Byfield because he didn't at first. Yeah, he said yes. All right. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 yeses, and 1, 2, 3 noes. So the yeses. Do you want to continue with
the
Chair?
We need two. Yes.
I'm sorry. Very quick point of personal privilege. When we first started the vote, it was 8:55. You wanted to go to 9:05. Mm-hmm. It's now almost 9:02. So we worked up 80% of our time just doing the vote.
I know.
Just saying.
I know. That darn Roberts rules.
Okay, so I have everybody except for you, but there wasn't a tie, so the yeses win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're at 2/3, I think. We have 14, I'm counting yeses, so should be good. All right, let's clear the stack. Vanessa, member Dixon Briggs, member Sanders, member Hewitt, in that order.
I think we extended, I had asked a question about the programmers.
Yes.
The role of the programmers on the program committee, since they will not be allowed to be LSB delegates.
No.
The
actual answer to that is they're on the LSB. They can participate in any committee on the LSB. They just cannot chair any of the they can't be officers within the LSB. But a programmer can be involved. That's correct. They cannot hold any officer position on the LSB. Is what's happening.
Still disenfranchisement, less, but still. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Member Sanders, and then Member Hewitt.
Okay, and what I would say here is, and I think I've asked for this before, whatever concerns or thoughts someone has, to please write them and send them to the PNB secretary. So we have this information. I don't know if any of this is going forward or just staying at the LSB. But basically, being on the LSB programming committee, we can have that type committee. And also, it's my understanding that the PNB is also looking to set something like this nationwide. So that's all I have to share.
Thank you. Member Hewitt.
Yeah, so I pasted in the chat the sections in the 2020 and the 20, you know, the section numbers, which in the 2025 bylaws, it's Article 7, Section 9, local station board advisory committees is where's the authority in the bylaws. And basically, the LSB can have any committees that it votes on and decides to populate. You know, the point is it's not an LSB committee if the LSB doesn't pass a motion to stand it up. So if the LSB wants to have a programming committee going forward, they can do that. And they're allowed to have you can read it in the bylaws. They can have people on it, including programmers. That was true also in the 2020 bylaws. The article number was a slightly different article number, but at any rate. So if we want to continue having a programming committee, there's nothing getting in the way of doing that. So I just want people to, you know, don't say the sky is falling if the sky's not falling.
Right, we're at time certain. Member Avery Brown, really quickly.
Quick question for Julie. So you said the LSB determines whether there's going to be a program committee. How many programmers are actually going to be on the LSB under this new?
All right. So it's not a programmer, not programmer. It's members are either listener or staff. There's actually two classes or two divisions within the staff, which is paid and unpaid.
Okay.
The limitation has come, or if you want, the change has come, where the staff is down to just simply two elected members.
So two members on the new so-called LSB. And so that's the LSB that votes on whether or not there's going to be a program or committee.
Yes. You have two staff. Yep.
Two staff. Okay. Thank you.
All right. We're at our time. I'm so glad that Member Sanders brought up. I'm going to share my screen. The fact that we have questions for the PNB.
Oh, also, I'm sorry. Jeanette said she's having audio problems. She voted yes, but she's having audio problems, just FYI.
Okay. Well, we've gone past that now. All right. One of the things I sent out last month, soon after our meeting, was a shared drive. This is going to compile the questions that our vice chair has articulated she would like to bring to the national board. The Google Drive is called WPFW LSB 2025. I'll send the link out again. When you get to this Google Drive, you go ahead and click in here. It says bylaws questions, right? All you have to do, this will automatically save, so you don't have to hit save or anything like that. You can just go ahead and start to list your questions. I've kind of started it off as an example, but any and all of us can go in here anytime you feel compelled or feel like you want a question answered, something you would like to present with regards to the bylaws, we can list them here. Right? Simply type in into here whatever you need to know or would like to know question-wise about the board, about the bylaws. It'll save itself and just close it out. All right? So I'll have we'll send this link out again, but this is a very simple, hopefully straightforward way for us to compile those questions that the national board says they want. Okay? Are there any questions there? I see Member Dixon Briggs. Did you have a question?
No, I thought you were going to have them. Well, yeah, I do have a question. I mean, I don't know if this is the time for it. Uh-huh. In terms of programmers, yes. You say that they can serve on the LSB. There will be two, a whole two. So why is it that they cannot serve as officers? You're a programmer. You're a magnificent officer. Ron, Verna, Violetta are all magnificent. So why are the most knowledgeable people being prohibited from serving as officers on the LSB?
I do not have an answer for that. I was not in the room when these were developed. So I apologize. That one I...
Does Julie or Minerva...
Let me find out. We'll start at the top. Vice Chair Sanders, is there a reason why the 2025 bylaws have excluded the staff from participating as officers of the LSB?
I'm sorry, I had stepped away, and I don't have an answer for that at this time, but we can put it on the list and we can ask. Thank you.
Okay. Any of the other directors? Member Williams, Hewitt, Pinchback? Any idea why the bylaws exclude staff from being officers.
I have no idea. I have one quick question. Since close to half of the LSB will be selected as at-large members, do we know if there's any prohibition against those at-large members being programmers? I don't see any prohibition to that, but I was just checking.
I don't, but it comes, you know, the folks who have been elected cultivate that list, and so, right. It'll be
up to them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Member Pinchback, Member Hewitt, any feedback on why the bylaws exclude the staff from being officers?
I don't know the answer. Sorry.
Okay. Julie did put an answer in the chat. She put an answer to something in the chat.
Yeah, that said that I basically don't really know the answer. It was a long-winded way of saying it, and I decided not to take up time, and I've taken up way too much time.
Okay.
But right. Your answer said no.
Hold on. We're good. We've got a verbal answer
that was important, I think, to share. In the chat.
Exactly.
Hold on, folks. We got a verbal.
Hey.
Written. Ron, anything? Ron? Okay. All right. On the screen, hopefully everybody can see this. This is a handout that was sent out earlier. This is basically part three here. Trying to understand the bylaws. This is our membership. What membership entails under the 2025 bylaws.
Can't get to you. Mm-hmm. I just can't get to you.
This membership starts at Article 3. It's called Members of the Foundation. Section 1 is defining the members. And this is where I was saying earlier, that you have what's called a listener sponsor member, a paid staff member, and a volunteer staff member. All right, so you're either one of those three. The conditions for which a listener sponsor member becomes such, $25 or 3 hours of service within the 12-month period. So if you've given $25 in January, you're a member through December 31st, of that year. If you've worked 3 hours of service, and believe it or not, you can volunteer to work on a committee of the local station board as part of your service, 3 hours will get you also a 12-month membership. So all of us who are listener sponsor members, that's your gateway to membership. The staff, a little bit different. Paid staff, you're either a full or part-time employee of the foundation, non-management. Now, I'm not wholly sure what positions are management. I have obviously general manager. I would assume program director, but I don't know. I'm not an expert on all the positions around Pacifica, so there could be other positions that are considered management I'm not aware of. But to be a paid staff member, you simply have to be a full or part-time employee of the foundation and not in management. The third area is called a volunteer staff member. Volunteer staff member, in order to qualify, needs to be a part of what's called an unpaid or volunteer staff organization or unpaid or volunteer staff collective bargaining unit recognized by management. Now, that's a long way around to say that you're kind of organized as collective bargaining units. My union folk who are here feels a bit unionish. So if there's a union house, I think, recognized by management, you can qualify as a volunteer. And then, of course, there's staff organization. I'm not sure that could be loosely put together. That is one of my questions I'll be listing for the national board as to what is being suggested there around a staff organization. Or 30 hours in the preceding 3 months, which is a rolling 3 months. So you may have 10 hours in January, February, and March, but once you get to April, your January 10 hours drop off. So now you're at 20 beginning in March because your first 10 in January drops off. So it's a rolling 3 months. Very, very different from the listener. Listener holds their position for 12 months simply by putting in $25. A little crippling for the staff, I think, because you've got volunteer staff that may have a public affairs show that airs once a week for an hour. I'm not sure if their time curating and putting together that show counts as time served, so to speak. So that's another question. And these are all the things we have to think about as we move forward, you know, for the national board. Are those 30 hours just on air hours? Are they 30 hours cumulatively in terms of all the work you put in, so on and so forth? So these things all can be, again, listed as we move forward. Very quickly, Member Pinchback, I see your hand. Go ahead.
Yeah, weren't we supposed to be having a debriefing about all of this? You know, by the chair of the PNB and the executive director. You know, aren't we supposed to be having a meeting to discuss these issues, these leftovers?
I sent that email in the response from the chair of the national board. They are, I guess, I'm not sure where they are. I haven't reached back out, but they were supposed to address this with all of the staff first. So what you have is the paid staff kind of, you know, the executive director, all the general managers, all the program directors, all of that kind of staff is supposed to be briefed first. And I'm not sure if that's all taken place. And once that was done, then the chair of the national board promised to come to each LSB. So I can reach back out and find out where they are in that process. But yes, you are correct. They were supposed to be a debrief.
Okay, because we got town hall being planned around these issues. And that town hall is, a month away?
Correct.
So, okay. Thanks.
Not a problem. So that's another question you may come up that I have. You know, what are these 30 hours? What do they entail? How are we keeping track of it ultimately as well? Is that incumbent upon the volunteer themselves to say I worked or, you know, gave these many hours? Or is that something that management is supposed to be tracking and then an official kind of document or warehouse, storehouse of this information is kept somewhere? So anyway, I want to skip down to here are your rights, okay? And so one of the things with the rights, and I'm not saying any of this has changed, but all members have the rights granted to them with the limit the right to vote on, and they can vote on certain things. This is your right as a member. One of the things I highlighted here is you have the right to vote on any amendment to these bylaws for which member approval is required or permitted as set forth in Section 1B of Article 17 of these bylaws. What that says is, and the reason why I highlighted it is, if these things are going to change the bylaws, right, as long as the bylaws say, hey, this type of change requires a membership vote, it's your right, as long as you're a member, to make sure you vote on this any proposed change, all right? And that's kind of been a sticking point for what I've been hearing about where we are today, that, you know, voting wasn't done to get to where we are now, all right? But these bylaws clearly provide for your right as a member to vote any amendment, okay? It's got to be set forth in Section 1B of Article 17 of these bylaws. I don't have that here tonight, but that's your right as a member. Member Dixon Briggs, go ahead.
I just want to ask you a question. There's some dialogue going on in the chat.
Sure.
And there was reference to conflict of interest and definitions made by Member Adams. And as she's explaining to me in the chat, you said something which addressed those points. I've heard nothing to my knowledge that you've said which addressed those points which she has made. So I just want to see what I may have missed.
I'll be honest with you all. I'm not in the chat. So it, there's something in
no,
the chat.
No, it doesn't matter. Oh. I mean, conflict of interest and definitions. So did you say anything that addressed some sort of conflict of interest somewhere with something or some sort of definitions?
Not that I know of, no.
Not that I know of either. Thank you, Chair.
Yep. All right. Skip down a little further. This is quite a long section of the bylaws, but one of the points I want to get to, because I think it came up earlier, is the transition, which is also in here. All right. This is going to be important here as well going forward. So as we move into elections for this body, what you have here is that nominations for all elected positions will open June 1st and remain open for 30 days, closing on June 30th. So that's going to be going forward kind of like your basis for when things get started and kind of open up on these different boards or officers locally and officers on the national board about when to start your nomination process. So it starts June 1st and it's open for 30 days. And then, of course, you have the other balloting process that'll close on or before September 30th. That's each year that the elections take place. Every third year is the elections, all right? Get down. All right, here's our transition. The transition period for these bylaws on the date the court order for settlement of the case Pacifica versus New Day Pacifica et al. Is signed. So that's when the transition period begins. That date, I believe, folks have pinpointed as April 2nd or something like that. Either directors, if you want to correct me on that, I'm not fully versed on exactly when the court-ordered settlement took place, the exact date. But that's when it's supposed to start, all right? Summer of 2026, this is back to June when the elections are going to take place. Some of the things that I highlighted here, included in the 2026 national election, 5 LSB officers from each station will be elected by the station listener members, with 2 staff representatives elected by the station staff. Okay? So again, you have your 5 LSB officers, which are going to be elected by listener sponsored members only. Right? So back to the fact that your staff is not eligible to be an officer. Your listener sponsored members will be the 5 officers, and only the listener sponsors will elect those 5. The 5 are going to be chair, vice chair, secretary, membership / fundraising, and outreach coordinators. And then, of course, the LSB officers and staff reps select 6 more other members to the LSB. 5 listener-sponsored officers, 2 staff reps, 6 other members. All right, so that's highlighted there on page, when you have this, page 10. Again, kind of sticking with the local station board transitions. The current LSB chairs, vice chairs, secretaries continue to hold their current positions during the transition period. This, to me, I thought was important to note. The LSB members elect from among their members a membership / fundraising coordinator and a community outreach coordinator to hold these positions during the transition period. So that's probably one of the things we have to prep ourselves for, this body, is to elect a membership / fundraising coordinator and a community outreach coordinator. All right. We can ask for a little bit more definition as to the role and responsibility for each of those positions, but this body is supposed to now elevate or put in place a membership / fundraising coordinator and a community outreach coordinator. I see a hand. Member Adams, you have a question.
My question is, we have an outreach committee and an outreach chair. Is this whatever replacing that? I just need some clarification on that.
Yeah. I will put that, I think we should put that down as a question. It probably does, but I want to be, you know, clear from the authors what exactly is taking place here. So I don't want to, you know, misspeak that, but that was one of the things I wanted to highlight that we're supposed to be doing during this transition period is putting in place a membership fundraising coordinator and community outreach coordinator. So your question is valid. I do not have an answer for you currently. All right. So let's put that down as a takeaway. Member Williams and then Member Sanders.
Yeah, my preference would be for us, for the board simply to reaffirm Violetta as, you know, just to continue as chair of the outreach committee and keep it going like that. Although understanding based on what Kamau was just reading that as unpaid staff, she would be ineligible to run for that position or to serve in that position after the election, but certainly for the next through this transition period for the next 15 months, I would be happy to have her continue if she so chose. Thank you.
We'll get that. Thank you. We'll get that on the agenda, and we'll talk about that if Violetta would like to serve in that role. But there is a kind of a new role here where we're talking about membership / fundraising coordinator. Feels a little bit more quasi-financial, but we'll see. Member Sanders, go ahead.
Yes, I'm smiling at this because a member of the LSB, Gloria Turner, has said for years that the outreach and fundraiser were all one group, and she asked why it was split. So this may be something that you would be going back to if that is determined it should take place. But definitely I would put it in to be as one of the questions. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. A couple of other things I thought were important to highlight here. And again, you should have this in your possession now. And again, it's literally just I just carved out the section. All the highlights, underlines, italics, anything bolded, that's what I did personally. If you want a kind of clean copy and not with my bias edits or whatever you want to call it, then you have to actually go to the Pacifica.org website and kind of grab your own copy. But I've tried here is, again, give you all kind of what needs to be known, the important parts I think that might need to be known. And during the transition period and under the provisions of the revised bylaws and thereafter, the powers and duties of LSBs change to a focus on fundraising, membership drives, community outreach, and assessing the needs of the stations in relation to their communities. All right, so that's your role if you so choose it and you're on an LSB. These are your powers and duties going forward. And of course, explicit in this, the LSBs no longer elect directors to the national board. We kind of had that conversation here earlier. You do not send anybody from your LSB to the national board. The national board has its own election. The LSB no longer recommends budgets to the national board. Approve bylaws or articles of incorporation amendments. Be elected as delegates to national committees, nor have direct involvement in personnel matters. So very explicit no-nos coming during the transitional period and, of course, going forward. So that, in a nutshell, is kind of the highlights. I'll take a stack, and we can kind of have a little further discussion. Let me see where we are in terms of time. We're a little over, all right? So 9:25 was our time certain. We're at 9:31. I see Member Kiyasi, but do we have an okay to extend 10 minutes? Anybody opposed to a motion to extend? Do I have one?
I move.
10 minutes okay?
Yes.
Anybody opposed to time certain 9:41? All right, hearing no opposition, we'll go till 9:41. I have Member Kiyasi, Member Adams, Member Dixon Briggs in that order.
Okay, I have, can you hear me?
I got you, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, I got two questions.
Yep.
Earlier, you had a paragraph that said something like the members have the ability to change the bylaws. And I'm trying to get an idea. Is the nature of that phrase to say it's like an initiative in terms of what a state would do, that the members can put together their own petition or whatever and call for a vote on anything related to the PNB and the officers? Am I reading that correctly? That's my first question. My second question is what you just read.
Yes.
Does that say that right now the LSB no longer has any of those roles, that it's that the transition period is now? That those are my two questions.
Yes. The latter is simple. Yes, that is correct. That the transition period began with the settlement of the case. The transition period is now. You're restricted from all those things that I just read. The member can, under a very specified manner, every member can bring an amendment to the floor. There's a special way you have to do it. I didn't get into it here tonight, but I can carve that section out and give it to you. But as a member, you do have those rights. It just takes more than just you. It takes a certain number of members, and then, of course, in writing, so on and so forth. So there's quite a bit to do, but you do have that right to amend your bylaws. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Not a problem. Member Adams and then Member Dixon Briggs.
Just one question. Have we provided a group who has been – Who will back us? And because we are listeners, we're listener supported members. We represent the members. Have we provided that group of people to change any of this? Do we have the backing and support of those members? Do we have that numbers? Do we have that backing?
Mm-hmm.
Because they pay the money. Mm-hmm. We pay the money. Do we have it?
You know, your question again, it's a valid one. You're spot on to ask that. I do not know. I don't know if there was a poll done as to whether or not the membership is in agreement with the changes. I don't know if there was a I know there was not a vote done, but I don't know if there's a public opinion poll or something out there that says, hey, the membership is in agreement with where we've gone. I think part of the process in this is for us to understand our local membership and to understand how, you know, these bylaws complement what they see the role for WPFW is, how maybe they don't. And so, you know, like I said, we have to keep an open dialogue. But your question is valid. I'm not aware of a group or a number of people who have come together and supported what has happened or what has taken place. So,
but Mr. Chairman, as the listener station board, have we done what we need to do to get the voice of the people who are listening? Have we put out monkey versions? What have we done to get those views?
Yeah, you know, each month we've come here in the last 3 months and we've tried to, you know, give a little piece of the bylaws, and it's an open meeting, so anybody who comes here can hear about what we're discussing. There can be a further initiative if you'd like, and I think, you know, that's something we can propose as a group on how to move forward as a local station board and do what you're suggesting, which is kind of garner that support and understanding from the community. So I'm not opposed to it. I just, you know, this was a way in which currently I was thinking about educating us internally, but you're right. The larger membership, the ones who are supporting us both financially and through, you know, the other activities, you know, need to be informed. So I think we can do that. We just have to figure out how we're going to do it. All right. Thank you for that. Member Dixon Briggs, Member Williams, and then Member Pinchback, that order.
Okay. Two questions. If I'm understanding correctly, you said that the PNB will be electing the LSD delegates. Is that correct?
The PNB, the LSB and PNB are now two totally separate things. There is no more giving of the LSB does not give its members to the PNB any longer. They have their own separate national election. The LSB has its own separate election locally.
Okay. All right. So the national election, and I think Ambrose has made this point previously, the national election, given that the majority of the members are on the West Coast, could easily result in local station boards like us not having delegates that are from this area. The other issue that I wanted to talk about was I think Member Adams just asked a really brilliant question. She asked about the backing of the listeners, given that they pay the money. I think that's really the fundamental issue. If I had to answer that question, I'd say no. We don't have the backing of the listeners because the listeners don't know what's going on. The PNB directors don't know what's going on. Dennis reported before that I think it was seven PNB directors asked for a briefing about the bylaws, and the rest of the PNB boycotted. Nobody showed up. So what should have happened for the listeners to have the backing of these newly undemocratic bylaws would have been a referendum. That's what was in the old bylaws, have a referendum. But then someone told us at the town hall meeting last year that they couldn't tell the members, the PNB couldn't tell the members because there was an emergency mandate by the court, which is a lie. That did not happen. I was on the PNB, and that's not what happened. So no, that is the essential question. Does it have the backing of the listeners? No, because they don't know what's going on because they were never given an opportunity to have a voice as the old bylaws, the old Democratic bylaws mandated by having a referendum, a national vote. Had a national vote twice. Those bylaws failed twice. So now we have the shenanigans that we have, which have us in a position right now of having wholly undemocratic bylaws being forced down our throat, and people on this body telling us we better not come to the town hall meeting and disagree. That's where we are now.
Thank you. We're almost at time certain here, 9:41. Any other discussion? Like I said, you have copies of this. There's two other documents that over the last couple of months also went out. Member Sanders, go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would need to share that no directive have been given to any members in terms of what to do when you come to the town hall. I didn't hear it in the meeting tonight, did you?
You said...
What directives?
The statement was that people were directed or implied that they should not come to the town hall with their ideas. And I'm asking, did you hear something like that in the meeting tonight?
I don't recall someone saying not to come to the town hall with ideas, no.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Certain ideas.
Any other questions or concerns on this amended bylaws part three, our membership? Like I said, there's a Google group. We'll send that link out again with the list. Please put your questions on there. Now, you don't have to put your name next to the questions either. So if you want to be anonymous about what you're asking, that's totally capable in this scenario. All right. So please be, you know, open and transparent about your questions and what you want to know. It's your organization. It's your organization. All right. Okay. Action items. So we're at action items. We have a town hall coming up. We'll be working, member Diamond and her committee, closely. So stay tuned for more information about venue, the exact date. And then, of course, as we completely fill out the agenda for that meeting, which 2 points have already been added, and we can add in more, but obviously the bylaws will be a discussion there, and I will also have a discussion with regards on how to build up that membership and how supporting WPFW is a support for free speech and a support for community radio going forward, which is very important this time of, you know, the authoritarian situation we have happening, you know, very rapidly around us. So those are the 2 points there. Action item again, I'll say it again, the list is out there. Let's get those questions, you know, bring them forward and make sure we have everything we want to know about the bylaws listed there in that document. And I think that's everything. I don't know if I missed anything. Member Sanders, your hand is still up. Are you okay?
I am fine. I'm sorry. I did not mean to leave it up. Let me take it down right now.
You're all right. You can just making sure it's not a legacy. Mr. Member Chiasi, you are up, sir. What's up?
I would like the LSB to consider for our next meeting whether we should have a confidence vote on the new bylaws to let the PNB know where we stand as a board. I think that, you know, would be a good thing, you know, I think it'd be a good thing to do just to let them know we're just not, you know, blindly going to accept what the bylaws, new bylaws are doing. And that way, you know, we're being responsible to, you know, the, really to the general public. So anyway, that's what I would like to do at the next meeting.
It's a motion on the floor for Member Chiasi to put together. Hold on. Everybody, there's a motion on the floor from Member Chiasi for this body to have a confidence vote on or before the next meeting with regards to the bylaws changes that have taken place. Did I get second. That right, Member Chiasi?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? I see Member Avery Brown, Member Williams.
Yeah. Your hands are up. Yes.
Hold on, Member Pinchback. Member Avery Brown, your floor. Go ahead. I don't hear you. Verna. We'll come back to you. Member Williams.
Yeah, I agree with the sentiment, David. I can assure you that such a resolution from this board will have absolutely no impact on the national board. It would be it might be more impactful if we could find a way for through the membership base, if there's a if there is a strong opinion one way or another among the members, that might be more influential. I fear it would have little effect, but I agree with the sentiment. And if this board wants to go on record doing that, I would support it.
Thank you, Member Avery Brown. You good? No, not yet. Something's going on with your volume there. Member Dixon Briggs, and then Member Hewitt, in that order.
I resoundingly support Member Kiyasi's idea. I think that's a great idea. I also agree with Member Williams that it would have absolutely, positively no impact on the PNB. And furthermore, if we tried to contact the members to get their opinion about this, I'm sure we would all be brought up on charges, just as happened to KPFA and BAI with Alex Steinberg, on the pretense that we had somehow violated some rule that they just made up and thought of. So, but I still support wholeheartedly the idea of us expressing our voices to the extent that we still have any voice whatsoever to say how we feel about these undemocratic bylaws. Hear, hear.
Any opposition to the motion? I'll take it at this time. Any opposition?
Hang on. I'm sorry. I didn't get a chance to speak.
No, I'm giving you just making sure if giving equal balance here. Just go ahead, please.
I'm confused. When is it that we're going to take this confidence vote? I heard it was before the next meeting, and that just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Member Kiyasi wanted it at the next meeting.
At the next meeting. Okay, yeah. I thought I heard you say before the next meeting, and that part I did. Understand.
I
okay.
did. That's my gotcha. Fault. Yeah.
Nope. I'm good then. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Member Pinchback.
I just want to remind folks that we took that vote back in November, and this LSB overwhelmingly rejected this the bylaws as they were to be amended. I don't know if you guys remember that or not, but you know that was one of our beefs, that our reps didn't represent our position at the PNB. But the LSB had clearly voted not to support those changes. So what Mr. Kiyasi is asking, we've already done. If we want to do it again, I'm with you. But let's be clear. And it's just like the question about why the listeners, that pay the bills don't know anything about what's happening. It's because we were told, and we fought over this, that we could not go back to our LSBs. We could not go back to our constituencies, and share these things. That's why people got in trouble. Okay. So this was all based on instructions from the PNB. Now you can't talk about this. You can't talk about this in open session. You can't, you can't talk about this. And these are to our listeners. These are to our listeners, so. No, there was no effort to inform the listeners about this, not on the part of the PMB, okay? And we're still waiting for that opportunity. And that's it, man. It's just getting ridiculous.
Okay. Member Williams, is anyone behind you? Hold on a second. Let me see. Yeah, go ahead, Member Williams. You have the floor.
Very quickly, I just wanted to make the point that two directors have already been suspended specifically for trying to reach listener members and explain what was happening with the bylaws.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Thank you. That's good information. All right. A good point was raised that these particular bylaws have a provision in here which talks about secret ballot. So if we're going to do the vote at the next meeting, we have to do it in that manner. It also talks very extensively about written ballots, but we have to figure out this electronic piece as well. I know Zoom does allow for polling and voting in that manner, but we want to do it in a secret manner. So I'll work with Ellen on how to best do that. But the motion, just kind of wanted to put that out there. But there's a motion on the floor, so I don't want to corrupt it too much in terms of assuming that we're going to go forward with that. But there is a, I see you, Julie, yeah, OPA vote. We could also do OPA vote as well. So, the motion from Member Chiasi, seconded by Member Dixon Briggs, is on the floor. Is there any other discussion? All right, hearing none. Without our little electronic buddy here tonight, we'll have a roll call vote. A yes vote supports the motion from Member Chiasi to have a confidence vote at the next meeting in November. A no vote does not support that motion.
October.
In the November meeting, we'll have the vote. November.
October. This is the September meeting, right?
No, we're October 8th.
I'm a month behind. Never mind.
That's all right. Amen. I know the feeling. Ellen.
I'm here. Okay. I'll get started.
Can you?
Irene.
Can you call a roll? Thank you.
Irene.
My apologies. I was booted out, and it has taken me up until this time right now to know what is going on. What's going on?
All right. Member Chiasi has a motion to have a confidence vote in support or a confidence vote for or against the changes to the bylaws, 2025 bylaws. A yes vote supports his motion to have that vote at the November meeting. A no vote says you do not want to have this confidence vote about support for the bylaws.
It's a vote in support of the bylaws change, or a vote in support of the bylaws?
No, we're trying to establish as a group through this vote that we're going to do in November whether or not we as a body support the bylaws or not. So that vote's going to happen in November. All we're having here is a vote on whether or not we can have that vote in November. It's kind of a double entendre there, but yeah.
Okay, I'm a pass for my vote right now.
Okay.
I will go from there.
Anybody else confused before it starts? Okay. I don't want to
okay.
Get into it. And anybody else need clarity? I'm trying to give it as best I can. Okay. Hearing none. Ellen, call the roll.
Okay. And Verna, I think you put in the chat, yes. Mm-hmm. But, okay. So, Wayne is not here. Michael Byfield.
Yes.
Okay. Bill Curtis.
Abstaining.
Abstain. Violetta.
Okay. You said
yes.
It will matter, but yes.
Okay. Vanessa?
Yes.
Sue, is she there?
Yep, but she hasn't
Sue?
Spoken up in a while. Go ahead and skip her.
Okay. Robert?
Yes.
Michael Hirsch?
Yes.
Julie?
Stain.
Arthur? Harlan?
Quiet, please, during the roll call. Thank you.
Arthur Highland. Okay, I'll come back. David? David? Is he?
Yes.
Okay.
Tony's
not here. Ambrose isn't here. Mariah? Is she there?
No. He's not.
Ron Pinchback?
Yes.
Minerva?
I'm abstaining.
Okay, thank you. Michelle?
Yes.
Wanda?
Abstain.
Dennis?
Yes.
Jeanette?
I got a text here or a chat. Jeanette says yes.
Okay. And Jawara?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so we have yeses, one, two.
Hold on. Uh-oh. Let's go back. I think we have one Ooh. Pass. So, member Adams.
Oh, that's right. He did. She did.
I'm going to abstain.
Abstain. Okay. All right, yeses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So, 12 yeses. And abstentions, one.
You don't need to report the abstentions. Any no's?
No.
I'm sorry. Art Highland. Member Highland did not vote. Member
Highland. Is he there? Arthur? Here.
Yeah. You're on mute, sir. Somebody can't get off? I don't know what's going on. Jeez.
He's nodding yes. But he's still on mute.
Yes. Okay.
Right. Okay. So I'll just.
All right. So put him down.
So that's 13 yeses.
All right.
Okay. And no noes, and the rest were abstentions.
Okay. All right. So the yeses have it. We'll have a no confidence vote next month at our regular meeting. All right. We have Oprah vote. Zoom also does it, but remember Hewitt mentioned Oprah Vote, which I had forgot about. So Oprah Vote, we should be able to use that as a way in which we can have a confidential secret ballot vote on this particular motion. Okay. All right. Very well. Anything else? So that we're kind of at our action items in summary. Anything else before we're good to go? All right. Any motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Any objection? All right. Hearing none, thank you all so much. I appreciate your patience. Let's work together going forward, all right? Be well.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Thanks, now.
Everybody.
All right. Goodbye, appreciate now. You. See ya.
Good night.